emergency either in-house with acquired structures or at the Warren County Fire Academy. In our department, we're fortunate to have 5 New Jersey State Certified Fire Service instructors in our ranks who provide the instruction for the bulk of the instruction for our department at no charge. This year, we also had that outsourced was Lieutenant Bill Butler from Truck 56 FDNY. He's a renowned instructor in the fire service and teaches on the national level. The amount of time the fire department spent training this year was 212 hours. If you break that up into 40-hour work weeks, about 5.3 weeks of training per man. Apparatus. As you know, the new ladder truck 8369 has arrived and been put in service. Engines 8364 and 8361 are in good order with nothing to report. Engine 8363 is having a battery problem that we're currently working on resolving. Our support unit 8386 continues to have electrical problems. Brush truck 8382 and command unit 8385 are in good order with nothing to report. Fire calls. At the time of writing this report, the fire department had responded to 160 calls. We ended the year with 165. Last year at the time, the same time, we were at 184 calls. So we're showing a little bit of a decrease this past year, which is a good thing because a couple years prior, we're up like 220. Our calls are not just going to fires anymore. They can be alarm activations, hazmat calls, gas leaks, wires down, CO alarms, squad assist calls, patrol assist calls, pump details, vehicle extrication, medevac landings, fast assignments, public service calls like a cat in a tree, or for that matter, a bear in a tree. By filing reports with the Division of Fire Safety, we're able to track the number of calls, types of calls, and the hours on scene and our response times. The average amount of time spent on scene is approximately an hour and has a typical manpower response of about 10 members. With 160 calls, that becomes 1,600 on-scene man hours, and of course that does not include fundraising time. We are down 24 calls from this time last year. Our overall average response time is still approximately 8 minutes 24 seconds. Most career departments are between 4 to 5 minutes in their response time. Considering the members have to drop what they're doing, respond to the station, get their gear on, and get on the apparatus, it's a miracle that that only adds 3 to 4 minutes to our response time. Additional information. This year, the fire department has made the following purchases, or in the process of making the following purchases, from monies generated other than budgetary. This means money that we generated on our own through fundraising. $1,210 was spent to paint the truck bay and finish the ceiling. $800 was spent to have the opening cut in the wall. $1,000 for the tool room, which is still under construction. We spent $400 for plastic helmets, stickers, and pencils for kids for fire prevention and the handout during the open house. We're looking at spending approximately $7,000 to $8,000 for station wear Class B uniforms, which we're in the process of ordering now, and approximately another $7,000 to $8,000 anticipated to fix and or repair the automatic door openers for our truck bays. As it stands right now, they open when they feel like it. We've been having a bit of an issue with it, and it's something we're looking at addressing in the very near future.
A long-term thing, or just something that's happened recently, the problem with the doors?
They're old. They're probably 25 to 30 years old.
Okay, but it's just recently?
It's just recently that they're really starting to act on. Total expense is estimated to be $18,537, and again, that's money that was generated through fundraising. Had nothing to do with budget funds. On top of that, the fire department hosted an open house where we gave away free hot dogs and birch beer, and apparently it was all you can eat, to anyone from town that cared to stop by. We also took that opportunity to be able to speak to townsfolk to let them know what their fire department is here to do for them and what we want to do for them and who we are. We again hosted the annual Kids Halloween Parade, and that's open for any child in our town, where we gave out apple cider and donuts as well as cash prizes for best costumes. The cash prizes are monies out of the members' pocket. We pass the hat around, guys throw money into the hat, and that's what we give the kids in as cash prizes for the best costumes. We've had several times throughout the year various Cub Scout troops visit our station as well as classes of school children visiting our station as well as those that we've visited during Fire Prevention Week at the schools. Summary, the members of our fire department gave 1,812 hours of their time last year to participate in training and respond to calls. Plus approximately 64 hours was spent fundraising and another 56 hours performing general public service duties. for an estimated total of 1,932 hours of service this year. Each of our members has to maintain a 60% or better average in attendance, which of course adds up to a lot of missed work and lost wages, as well as missed time from families and our children's activities. But our fire department members continue to make these sacrifices year after year in order to be the best trained, best equipped, and best prepared fire department we can be in order to meet the future needs of our community and its residents. Respectfully submitted, myself.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, sir.
The tool shed that you say is still under construction, when do you anticipate that being done?
Within the first quarter of this year.
Okay, and that reconstruction is due to the modifications due to the new truck?
Correct.
Okay.
Recouping lost space for storage and ability to work on various things.
Okay. Is your membership doing the bulk of that work?
We're doing all of it.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions for the Chief?
Chief, I just want to say once again, your group, as yourself, are extremely professional in everything you do, your conduct, and the way you present what the fire company has done for this community. Outstanding.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions or comments for the Chief? I would just like to reiterate that, and thank you to you, yourself, for leading them, and to all the members for everything they do for our community.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to represent you.
I'd like to open up the audience portion for any remarks, petitions, statements, or testimony from guests that is not already on the agenda.
I'll move. Can we close the audience portion?
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next, we have our ordinances, Ordinance 1, 2010. Ordinance for a on-street parking for the handicapped.
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion on this? Okay, may I have a roll call, please?
Naomi?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Weaver?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Ordinance 1, 2010, an ordinance to amend Chapter 85-81 of the Code of the Borough of Washington, on-street parking for handicapped.
Somebody like to move for approval?
I move it.
Second.
Right, any other discussion on it? Roll call, please.
Naomi?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Hagan?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Public hearing ordinance 1, 2010, which is February 16, 2010, and advertisement of public hearing in the Star Gazette on January 28, 2010.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on the publication date? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? And this brings us to our reports.
Mayor, I move we file the reports.
Second.
Any discussion? Do you have something, Mr. Boyle, that you want to discuss on any of those?
No, sir.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Let's go on to the committee reports right now. We'll save the council committees for a little bit. Do you have any committee reports?
I have two.
Okay.
Park committee, there's a meeting to be set up, dates to be determined yet. We received a message from Sandy, from the bid, Sandy Cerami. The phase one environmental survey was completed. We don't have copies yet, but that's forthcoming to the manager to distribute to the rest of the council. No more real information other than that for that particular item. The website committee had a discussion about the ability to post the meeting minutes audio on the website. So I want to bring it to the rest of the council's attention. Chris, did you ever get a chance to try it out with Mark?
I don't think it's been any problem.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
So we should be able to do it if the rest of council approves. We can, once the meeting minutes are approved in the regular session, when they're uploaded to the website, we'll also upload the actual audio. So I think that's a good way to keep open and honest communication with the residents. People that can't attend can actually listen in to what actually transpired in the meeting minutes. So just another way to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak.
And we have enough, there's enough room on the server?
Yeah, he said it's not an issue for the size.
And how long will those minutes be, the audio report minutes be kept up?
We could archive them every 6 months, probably every quarter, depending. There's no real, you know, definitive, but what we would do...
Probably want to discuss that then, because I don't think we want them up there forever.
Well, what we'd do is we would have a predetermined archive, like say every 6 months, and then what we would do is we'd have a separate archive page that if people wanted to go back further, they can access, and then ultimately there'd be a deep archive, which means it wouldn't be, you know, be there, but they could probably request it.
Okay.
So we just have to work on timelines. It's really just a... I brought it to everybody's attention to see if council wants to move forward with this, and we could do that when these minutes are published or next.
Is there an additional cost?
No.
Okay, does anybody have any objections to the audio portions of the minute being on the website?
Not at all.
No, I was the one that requested it.
Not at all.
Should we have a motion to put them up?
Motion to post the audio portion of the council meetings on the borough website.
Definitely.
Any other discussion on it?
Is that, for clarification, just the audience portion?
No, audio.
No, the audio.
Okay.
The whole
meeting. Yes,
okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Now we're going to skip over the first vouchers list because it's listed on there twice. We'll go to the second
one. Well, may I? You're still in the committee reports?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. The shared services, the 2010 schedule is out. They changed it. It's going to be every other month starting in January and ending in November. I'm not quite sure. Maybe Rich might know. Is it still at 7:30?
I haven't received any.
They gave out the schedule without the time. So
just for...
That's all right. I already did. I just thought maybe you knew by now. So that's a little bit easier to obtain that way.
Any other committee reports? And we will move on to old business, which is our 2010 budget. We have a number of things we're in separate packet that we need to discuss. Mr. Fallon, is there anything in particular that you want to bring to our attention?
Just to recap the information council received at our last workshop meeting. For the past several months, options good and bad have been presented to council to come up with alternatives for our 2010 budget. As it looks right now, based on the reduction in revenues that we received in 2009, we're looking at a budget shortfall of $725,000. Revenue was not there. Surplus was not regenerated. Lower than 2008 revenue amount, and 2008 was low. The only way to make up this is through departmental or otherwise reductions. You have been presented with a worst case scenario number based on existing departmental requests. Again, keyword there is requests. Just because a department requested it does not necessarily mean they're going to receive it. As well as accurate cost for our statutory obligation for 2010. Again, the biggest nut is to come up with this additional $725,000. The lion's share of that $725,000 is due to the fact that last year we applied for and received $550,000 in extraordinary aid. It is unknown if this program will be available in 2010. Based on everything I'm hearing from Trent and Down, I have a feeling they're going to be reducing or getting rid of the extraordinary program. I received notification from the Department of Community Affairs on Friday that applications will be available by the end of the month. Again, just because they're available doesn't mean by the time they go through everything, the money will actually be there. Of course, we will be aggressively applying for funding. to offset this deficit. I have to assume, and I think it's prudent to assume, that it's not going to be there. So we have to plan for the worst case, so a few months down the road, we're not left there standing. Over the past several months, council has been working with my office back and forth on all scenarios. I think it was of the opinion of everyone here that nothing, no matter how large or how small, should be overlooked as a possibility for change in 2010. Focusing on the true needs versus the wants until the economy turns around so our revenue comes back. What you have in front of you is the information you requested after our last budget workshop meeting. The question becomes, what would you like to entertain versus what you would not like to entertain?
All things being equal, what would our property tax rate increase be if we were not to make any of these cuts?
If we don't make any cuts, we are looking at just under 30 cents. The surplus that was used, there was none left in 2009. It was not generated back in 2008. When I started here, there was literally no surplus left to use to offset the budget. If we reduce the 725 or greater, we're looking at single digits.
How much is the 725 is our debt payment?
Well, our debt service this year is approximately $850,000. Debt in our budget right now encompasses approximately 25% of our budget.
And what are the things that we have borrowed for?
It could be anything from capital purchases of items. In the sewer department side, the largest one is the sewer upgrades that took place that we're still paying off the bond. On the municipal side, the current fund side, it's ordinances that are dating back to 11, 12 years ago that were rolled over from year to year and are, you know, finally coming due. Depending on the type of bond that was taken out at the time, it might have been, I guess if you will excuse the expression, an interest-only versus a principal and interest payment, depending on what type of bond was taken out. Our CFO right now is looking at restructuring all of our debt and going out for different financing that would reduce our overall debt if the volume of debt that you can get together is marketable out there in the world. Why our $12 million of debt seems a lot to us in the larger field, it's actually a drop in the bucket. A lot of banks aren't willing to touch a small number to refinance for a lower rate. She's actively working on that now. And this goes for any capital purchase or improvement, whether it be to the buildings, the existing building, whether it be to acquisition of property. There are some state infrastructure loans that were used to purchase recreational properties. There was loans used to purchase capital equipment in multiple departments. It encompasses everything you need that has a lifespan of five or more within this municipality.
So we're talking about vehicles and recreation equipment, street projects, road construction projects. And does that include the tax anticipation notes that we've had?
No, tax anticipation note is, in essence, it's a loan, but not in the sense of a 20-year payback.
Okay.
The tax anticipation note we took out in April of last year, we go back this April,
correct,
which we're budgeting for accordingly. We have to pay that back. That's a short-term, one-year loan. That wasn't a loan in the sense that we're paying it back over here. That's a loan to assist us with our cash flow problem. In essence, it's a loan that fronts us our tax money before the quarterly tax payments are due.
Right.
But there is, and I'm sorry, I mean to interrupt, just to dovetail off of that, there is an interest associated with doing that.
And we will be going out for tax anticipation notes again, more than likely.
Yes, I spoke with the auditor today, and I'm going to reach out to our CFO and auditor to set up a meeting to get a timeline for it as well.
For how much?
Don't know. They're now analyzing our 2010 cash flow. They started the annual financial statement Monday. Once I have a final number from that is when we can gauge. It would be premature for me to get. At a minimum, it has to be for what we owe, which in 2009 was a $2 million tax anticipation debt.
The valuation, what is that? Last year was 37.7 for a penny. What is it this year?
Oh, no, when the annual financial statement's done. We don't expect it to vary much from that.
And we lost $3 million, roughly $3 million worth of ratables. I believe I saw from the tax assessor's notes.
I printed that.
Just mm-hmm. short of that. Let's see here.
Yeah, just shy of $3 million in ratables due to property value reductions. Just due to the state of the economy, which resulted in a revenue loss of $128,000 a month.
So, Rich, would we be able, could you work with the CFO to get a document together that shows what exactly our debt is, piece by piece, so we could post it on the website?
I spoke with her today. She's working on that with the order. I'm hoping to have it in the very near future.
Great.
A lot of that dovetail with the annual financial statement, so it's working hand in hand.
Great, thank you.
Are we going to talk about these things right here now, or what?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go over them line by line?
If you like. I just wanted to give everyone a synopsis of where we are.
Is there anything in particular you'd like to start with, Mr. Higgins?
Let's start at the top.
Okay. First one up on our budget consideration is going into the municipal court with Mansfield, which we are thinking would realize us about $120,000 in savings.
Per year.
Per year. I understand we had some new correspondence from the courts today.
That's correct. Well, from the assignment judge as well as Mansfield Township.
Okay.
Council received a draft copy of an agreement. With few exceptions, the wording is the same as their existing contracts. Right now, Mansfield is the host community for Washington Township and Oxford. They have asked us if we would like to join their shared court as well. What this does is, in essence, it changes the venue. We would hold our court in their jurisdiction. But statutorily, we would still receive any and all of the revenue generated in our community.
We would get 100% of the fine.
That's correct.
So you'll get 100%.
Well, they take it, yeah. Their port. We get what we're entitled to.
Right.
We're not losing any. You know, the state still gets a portion, or the county, depending on when and where the ticket was issued, that type of thing. And we still get what we're entitled to. What you have before you is a draft from Mansfield. When I spoke with them, my first question is, why are our proposed costs higher than the others? They said it was solely based off of caseload. They based all their, in all of these proposals, his exact words were, all of these are based off of current caseloads for each of the municipalities. Obviously, in the smaller municipalities like Oxford, they have very few. Smaller community, I think their police force, which I understand might be going to the township as well, is only four.
It was four, yeah. I think it's three currently.
That's what it is based on. He did want me to reiterate to everyone that this is nothing more than a draft. Like any document, negotiation can be made. The issue, excuse me, timeline, just to give you a timeline, if this was agreed on by both municipalities, it still needs to go to the assignment judge for their review and approval at that level. They review it to make sure everything is legal. They review it to make sure. See, the way it works is it almost like another level. We maintain a court now. We maintain staff now. But all of our actions relating to that need to be approved or denied by the assignment judge, even though it's our staff and it's our expenditures. That wouldn't change. We would still be required to have a municipal judge. The judge would just be based out of another location versus this courtroom. We're still required to have, you know, your public defender. You're still required to have a prosecutor, because all it is our cases are just being heard in a different venue.
Would it be our public defender or theirs?
It's your appointment. It's your appointment. The council's appointment. Again, it's changing the venue. Nothing else. Now, correspondence received the other day from the court enumerated the process in which this goes through. If this gets approved by both municipalities and if it moves through, The process is probably 3 months for their review and approval. Now, the assignment judge has advised us that her policy is never to allow more than 3 municipalities into a shared court system like this. There's no statute that says that it has to be done that way. That's her choice. That's her policy and her discretion as the assignment judge. What puts us in an awkward position, what concerns me personally is we could potentially realize $120,000 a year savings and the assignment judge can say no.
Okay. Let me interrupt you there. How did you come up with that number?
120?
Yeah.
After you, I got it right here. Okay. Right now, court costs, operating costs, $7,000. Salary and wage, $133,000. Public
defense. But isn't the judge in that salary?
That's correct. That's the total cost. What would be saved when you go over there is the operating cost and salary and wage cost of personnel no longer needed because Mansfield has advised that they're adequate staff.
So you're adding those two numbers together, and that's what costs us to run the courts?
No. There's public defender, $6,000. Prosecutor, at the time we did the number, was 24, but it's slightly reduced now to the recent contract.
What's the bottom line?
$201,000.
To run the courts here?
$201,000 a year. And it's $260,000 last year to run the Mansfield Shared Court.
Now, the second part that I have is it's based on caseloads.
Correct.
So we took this out to 2013. What numbers are we using? We're adding 4% each year?
Yeah, he's assuming 3.5%, I believe.
And when you say he, that's...
My point of contact I've been working with there is the chief financial officer.
Mansfield?
Yes.
Okay. So you provided him the original numbers and he worked off of them?
Yes.
I still don't see where you're getting all that savings. If you add up the cost on this agreement plus the cost of the judge, prosecutor, and defender, you're getting up to close to $201,000. So I don't see where you're getting $120,000 savings.
I'm projecting out over the next year increases. Our cost to run that court, if they stay as they are, is still going up this year. It's just, unfortunately, it's just the nature of how it is. Everything costs more to operate.
All right. Are we going to realize $120,000 savings this year if we do this?
No, because it's already January 19th.
Okay. What are we going to realize in savings if we do this in 3 months?
If it starts in April, say best case scenario, everything gets approved, say it starts April 1st, 75.
Do we know that? I mean, if he has the numbers, he didn't work it out.
I mean, I can, excuse me. This all depends on the start date. Again, this was best case scenario. We started January 1, 2010. Obviously, every day that passes by is less of a savings that the borough reaps. If it takes 4 months for the state to approve it, that number will go down even lower.
I don't understand what the projections, $120,000 in projections, has to do with the current year.
Salary and wages.
Current
health
year.
Insurance.
Okay.
Social Security. All the costs for staff.
I understand what you're saying. You said that when Janine asked you the question about the $120,000, where do you get that? You said that was projected out over the length of the contract.
Correct. Remember, this is dated 2009, these numbers, when I gave it to you. I didn't get 2010 numbers, all 2009 numbers till the end of the year. When I sent this to you, it was in October.
The one from October was a different number. The $120,000 on the 2010 one.
October 30th, I sent you a breakdown of 2009. October 30th, 2009, I sent everyone a breakdown of what the current costs are to run that court. Again, these are approximate numbers. I won't know a definitive number until we pick a start date. If I know from the court that they will be starting on April 1st, I can get you definitive numbers. These were best-case scenario numbers if we started January 1st, 2010.
The revenues from a municipal court, does that go to the borough's bottom line, or does that just go to the municipal court's bottom line?
To the borough's, like any
to
other
borough. So for year-ending, the tax collector's report here says that we generated out of the municipal?
$109,000, I think.
$109,000, okay.
And we're anticipating the same.
Well, you guys...
We can't anticipate more than we brought in this year.
But they're doing that on the agreement. You're bumping that thing up for a caseload.
Again, this is a draft. I asked them to provide me with a draft.
Well, this is what we're looking at.
I understand.
All right, it's right in front of me.
My job is to give everyone worst-case scenario numbers.
Why can't we host it? And why can't we charge them?
We can. We approach the township. The township isn't interested. Mansfield has an established system. They don't want to go anywhere. They're established with Oxford and the township.
But they'll be moving it from Mansfield to Oxford.
No. Mansfield is the host community.
Okay.
Oxford and the township, Washington Township, go there. We approached Washington Township. The proposal to them, at least conceptually, was that we would bring in $80,000 in revenue and they would save $20,000 a year. They didn't want to entertain it. They did not want to entertain the shared court with us. It would have cost us, I'd say, round up $10,000 in startup costs to get certain security measures enabled here, but they were not interested.
Could you tell me what is the total cost if we merge at Mansfield?
Sure.
You're currently now, our cost is $201,000.
Sure. 2010, salary and wages, $109,000.
If
you notice how 2010, other expenses is higher than the remaining years, that still count for additional items that they need to purchase for us coming there.
Mm-hmm.
So year one, it will cost us about $120,000.
Plus the prosecutor, plus the defender.
No, that's once you come up with all of this, again, $120,000 is best case scenario. We're not going to reap that.
No, let's talk about the savings. I'm talking about what is our cost to municipal court going to be if we merge?
This year, which will cost more, is probably about $140,000.
It's got to be more than that.
No, I'm going by memory.
110 plus 10 plus the prosecutor is about 22,000.
Again,
plus the defender 6,000. Whatever, and plus whatever the judge is.
The judge has been appointed for a 3-year term. The public defender and prosecutor were recently appointed by the governing body. What's been happening with Mansfield is it happens to be the same judge. Our judge happens to be the same judge in Mansfield. I know that does not necessarily mean you need to keep the same public defender or prosecutor if ones that they have there are established cost less. I have been unable to get a proposal from them from those positions pending the borough's decision whether or not to pursue this or not.
But that's new information. I thought we were using the ones that we appointed.
It's a borough council appointment. You can appoint whomever you wish.
Well, I thought we just appointed them last 2 weeks.
But again, borough council can appoint a professional today and change your mind and not want to use them tomorrow.
I have another question. With your numbers that you're giving here, you say $140,000 would cost us this year. We're going to save $120,000. That's $260,000, but you said it's only $201,000 to run the court.
Again, this is based off of projected 2010 operating costs. The problem is you can't get a definitive answer. The reason being is we don't know what costs are actually going to be for certain things. If we write 30 times more tickets, that's more printed materials we have to purchase. Now, granted, the revenues will offset that, but we had a drop in revenue, so we can't anticipate that same amount of revenue.
All right. You're confusing me because you're saying we're going to save $120,000. It's going to cost $140,000 to run the court, and what it costs us is $201,000 a year. 140 and 120 is 260 on my calculator.
260 is what it costs the court in Mansfield to run. That's what I said earlier, 260. The bottom line is there's going to be a savings by doing this. The cost of the savings is going to be unknown depending on when and if this moves forward. If this moves forward in 6 months, everything I wrote is irrelevant. If this moves forward in 2 weeks, it's pretty close.
It can't be.
The short version of it is there's going to be a savings.
But we don't know how much.
We're looking at a $725,000 shortfall. I would imagine any savings to provide the same or greater level of service to the community we should look into.
Oh, I agree. But that's not the history of this council.
I'm not sure I follow.
That'll be a discussion for another time, but that's council doesn't do that. If you tell Mrs. Levy here that it's going to cost us $140,000 for the court this year, you're telling us that we're going to save $120,000. That's $260,000.
Correct.
But you told her previously that it costs $201,000 to run our court. Am I missing something?
No, that's what I wrote down.
Last year, $201,000 was last year. We need to do infrastructure improvements here. This court is currently not up to code.
Are those infrastructure improvements included in this year's budget?
They would be. Absolutely.
Are they?
They're included in the preliminary budget, yes. Absolutely.
And how much are they?
That was provided to council.
How much are they?
I don't have that in front of me now. I know that there's security issues that need to be addressed. I would imagine $10,000 to $15,000 at least. I mean, there's security issues that are not addressed here, are in violation of what the state requires.
That wasn't on the municipal court budget worksheet. That would be on the...
No, that was on the budget worksheet.
So what the court anticipated costs for 2010 would be what, if we kept it here?
If we kept it here, it would be... Plus $30,000 for the judge, $22,000 for the prosecutor, $6,000 for the public defender. Let me get you the wing here. $147,000 salary and wage.
How much for the judge?
Right here, David.
About another $10,000 in miscellaneous operating. In addition to the capital request that needs to be made.
So to upgrade this.
15? I'd say 10 to 15. It all depends on the cost at the time.
215,000.
So I came up with 234,000 for everything that you listed there.
Which 234?
Yeah, the 147. Did that include the judge and the prosecutor?
That's full-time staff in that office.
Okay, but not
now,
the judge.
What you need to remember is all that, no, including
them. Okay.
No. The numbers I gave you. I gave you the prosecutor separate. I gave you the 133 is just that. It includes those numbers. That's correct. Now, keep in mind, it doesn't include pension, Social Security, health benefits. Health benefits went up 18% this year.
Rich, on this worksheet here for municipal court that was prepared, municipal court worksheet prepared back in October.
Mm-hmm.
Could you show me the line item that says $15,000 for upgrades that you had just mentioned?
This is a conversation that the court administrator and I had that we know we're going to need to make.
So it's not in here?
No, it's not. That's the departmental budget request, not the capital budget request.
But it still all goes towards the borough budget.
It all goes towards the borough budget. That's correct.
So did Mansfield already make these improvements?
Yes. The reality of it is this, is whether we save $50,000 or whether we save $20,000. Whether we save $100,000. It all depends on what time of the year we do it and whether or not council wants to reap the savings.
I'm just not confident that there's savings here the way it's being presented tonight.
What you have to remember, too, though, is even if it's identical.
It could cost us money, too, Rich.
Even if it's identical, shared services agreements are outside of the budget cap. You can raise it differently. You still have to raise it, but you can raise it differently.
Mr. Cushing, would you like to comment a little bit on the assignment judge and any issues that you might see there with what their policy is?
Okay. What the municipal assignment judge
wrote was the fact that with a shared court, which is different from a joint court, but a shared court, the policy of the judge is to only permit three shared courts together. Let me explain just background why that is. The joint municipal court is like a separate entity. Everything is all mixed together. A shared court is like three parallel courts that are working together. They may be sharing the same facilities, they may be sharing the same staff, they may be sharing the same judge, prosecutor, etc. But all the books have to be kept separately so that all the money from Washington that comes in terms of fines and costs and all that kind of stuff has to be put in a ledger, and then all the expenses for the borough of Washington have to be kept in that same ledger. And if you have three other courts, they have to be kept in the same way. So that for logistical reasons and financial reasons, what the judge has said is that, look, if you have more than three courts operating in tandem as shared courts, it creates too much burden on the staff of the court to be able to make sure that the money goes all in the right places. And the court system, as it should be, is extremely assiduous, extremely careful about making sure that the money is allocated properly. So what they feel is it's too great a burden on the administrative staff to separate them. Now, that's what the court has said. There is no statute that says that. There is no court rule that says that. A court rule is like would be in a book like this, which says, okay, these are the rules under which the court operates. What this assignment judge, and the assignment judge is the superior court judge that presides over Hunter and Warren and Somerset counties, and she presides over all the courts in those counties, all the way from the municipal court all the way up to the superior court. She's in charge of all the judges, municipal judges, superior court judges. And so she's made up a rule within this vicinage, it's called, within these three counties, that says, this is my rule. Now, would she bend? You know, if you came up with a showing of savings, a substantial savings, and when one takes into account the stress that municipalities are under now with respect to taxes, would she bend if you presented a persuasive case? I think there's a fair possibility she might, but she would have to be convinced that the administrative staff would be able to manage this in a way that the money would be accounted for to a penny, would be precisely accounted for. And there are many other reporting requirements that municipal courts have with respect to keeping track of all the different type of cases and all that stuff that they use for management purposes. So there would have to be a persuasive case on that. There would also have to be a persuasive case on the money to be saved. That's my opinion.
The policy that she has, is that common throughout other percentages, or is that just her?
I think it's probably common in this vicinage. This area of the state, Hunter and Warren, Sussex counties, have a larger number of shared services courts. Bigger towns have, they don't share because they don't need to because they have a very large court system. So I think that's probably unique to this county, but I don't know that.
Okay. If I may, if you look at the proposed shared service agreement, page 2, services to be provided, number 3, I think that might clarify the question and concern about the judge and prosecutor. We're paying a flat fee as outlined in this proposal. We're appointing their judge, which is still our judge, and their prosecutor. Again, this is the proposed.
So line 3 is the estimated cost for...
No, I'm sorry. Line down here, on the very bottom, services to be rendered, number 3.
Oh, number 3. Oh, but that's second base, though. That's only if there's another municipality trying to get in and we're trying to beat them. We're only talking about three municipalities going to one court, correct?
Yes, well, we would be the fourth.
We would be the fourth.
We would be
right,
the fourth.
Well, I'm not saying we're going here, but again, I'm just not convinced that this is... These numbers that are being presented are that large on savings. Because quite honestly, no disrespect, you said there's $15,000 in upgrades and we don't even have it in this thing. It was I'm not saying that maybe you don't have to have it. Heck, we can keep throwing stuff out all the time saying we have to do this later on.
the reason the $15,000 isn't in there is council advising our workshop that you're no longer going to move forward with certain capital projects.
Doesn't mean it doesn't have to be in here. It's like splitting hairs, you know?
If you look at the totals for recipient C, it's $109,000 for year one, plus a one-time shot of $10,000. When I spoke with Mansfield, my exact question to him was, what do we need to do with our professional appointees? He says, appoint the professionals that they use. The money that we spend, according to him, right from his mouth, was $120,000 for year one.
Will he put that in writing?
It's in writing. I'll call him again and ask him to further put it in writing. This is his proposal.
But this is also a draft, like you said.
This is also a draft. This is a live document. This is what was told to me when I spoke with him. I asked him to put something in writing to present to council for this meeting. This is what he put in writing.
So are you saying the salary and wages for us on this agreement include their prosecutor and their judge?
If you look at number three, it says we have to appoint their prosecutor and their judge. Our fees are outlined in here at $109,956, prorated, of course, in 2010.
That's almost to the penny on our revenues.
I'm sorry?
That's almost to the penny on our revenues.
Obviously, revenues go up, but more power to us.
We're not losing any revenue.
But we're not losing revenue anyway, so.
This probably just wasn't a good comment.
That comes back to us. The short version of it is there's two items. We could go through all this, and the assignment judge could say no. That makes this whole conversation moot.
But how can you give a persuasive case if we don't know good savings ourselves?
Well, $201,000 versus $109,000, that's what it would cost us.
No, it's going to be more than $109,000.
So if you read the terms of the agreement, those are our fees. This in front of you, which I gave the council last week, dictates what it would cost us to run a court if we go to Mansfield.
It's the same setup as with the shared service agreement we did with the police department, in the sense that we pay a flat fee, and
yes,
if we kept it in-house, this is what it would cost us.
The other municipalities that use their services have this exact contract. This is what our fees would be.
If and they don't have to pay for a defender, they don't have to pay for a
their fees, right now, the township is their recipient A, I believe.
That's all
the township spent $77,000 a year on salary in 2010 and $6,600 in operating. That's what it cost them to run their court. Yes, $94,000.
So it would be $120,000.
So let's see if I can put this into a nutshell. Okay. If we go into the Mansfield court, we have to appoint their judge, we have to appoint their prosecutor, we have to appoint their public defender.
It says their administrator, which I'm
sorry. I'm sorry. Their administrator. And their public defender, was it? Or?
I have to, it's not addressed in here, but I can verify with that.
Okay.
And their judge is the same judge as
it just coincidentally happens.
Now, in that $110,000, essentially, they're talking, that includes the cost of the judge, of the prosecutor, and of the administrators.
That's what he told me when I asked him. That's correct.
Okay. So the only variable that we have right now would be the public defender that we're not positive of.
Correct. And that based on our current case, though, it's going to cost about $6,000 for a public defender. Even if it costs $10,000 for a public defender, and our initial costs go to $130,000, we're still realizing $70,000 of savings prorated. This, I asked him directly, give me a final number of what it would cost us to join. Put it in writing, which he did. This is the numbers he gave. If this is not something you don't want to entertain at all, let me know. I won't waste their time. I won't waste my time. This is what I asked them for, and put it all in writing for me. This is the agreement that Oxford and Washington Township have signed. This is what their numbers are based off of. Regardless of what it actually currently costs us, this is what our numbers would be if we went. Again, all on the premise that the assignment judge approved it.
Assuming this draft went through, would the numbers in the ensuing years of 113, 117, and 121 be solid numbers, or are they...
Correct.
They're solid numbers.
Those are solid, just what, exactly.
For those same services,
that's correct. If we have no cases, it's still costing us that much.
Right.
If we have three times as many cases, it's costing us that much. Okay. These are flat fee numbers.
Ladies and gentlemen, do we have any other comments from council?
Well, it can't be. These can't be flat fee numbers.
The increases go up.
For other expenses?
Yeah, well, if you look at recipiency other expenses 2010, it's higher, but that's because the initial startup cost. But if you look at 2011, recipient fees go down to $6,800.
I understand that, but it says that we're going to be billed 33% of the total operating expenses.
That's what our contribution equates to. If you look, under the terms of this agreement, provider is responsible for approximately 30% of the estimated cost. A is 20%. B, the provider is Mansfield.
Right.
Mansfield's portion of their contribution equates to 30%. The township is 23%. Oxford is 13%. Ours is 33%. You add them up, that's what the total cost is. That's an outline of what our contribution equates to in a scale of 100%. We have the most cases of them. That's what it comes down to, which is why our costs are higher, though. Higher than the existing municipality version.
Okay, I saw some questions from the audience. Why don't we just have you come up to the podium and state your name and address for the record, whoever would like to ask a question or make a comment on it.
Good evening. Mary Ann Van Dorsen, 32 Lambert Street. Mr. Mayor, when we explored the shared services with the court once before, one of the concerns, and I just wanted to ask Rich if this was something you discussed with them, was that because of the increase in cases, they were concerned that there might have to be more than one court session. Was that taken into consideration about how many more court sessions would be needed and if that would increase the need for staff, therefore allowing us to bring our staff over there?
Court sessions per the draft are court sessions and dates. Court session dates and times are to be determined by the judge. If he needs an additional session, he can schedule an additional session.
Right. And was that added into your budget as to the cost administratively?
According to what he told me, you're not going to need more than the current number of sessions we have. Obviously, if that increases, the additional costs will be borne by, in this case, what they would call the provider, which is Mansfield.
Yeah, I would find that very difficult to believe. I would find that very difficult to believe. And Chris, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that was one of the things that we had considered. It was going to, they felt, and that was when we were just going to go in with Washington Township, and we had considered entertaining Mansfield at the time, that was one of the reasons that we would be bringing our staff, or keeping our staff from bringing, joining the staff that the township had, was because of the increased number, because we happen to have the most cases of anybody in Warren County.
The way the draft agreement is worded now is whether it's one session or 10 sessions, we play that flat fee divided by 4 each year.
I would challenge whether 2 plus 2 is equal to 4.
Sure, come on.
Christina Wekowski, 24th South Prospect Street. Also going back to the same meetings that we had at the time, and there are quite a few of us here that were involved in those meetings at the time. There was an additional cost in the beginning. I don't know, Rich, if you took that into consideration. These records are sensitive records. They have to be moved a special way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a cost for that?
Yes, that's included in the initial OE, which is why the initial operating expense for 2010 is higher.
Okay, and I would like to stress the point, too, that at the time we were supposed to be the host and we were supposed to increase the number of our employees just with the township.
Try.
And we had very detailed cost analysis at the time, which I see you don't have tonight, that showed clearly that the township had a higher amount of cases.
According to the numbers that we use and the numbers that I got from the township as well as Mansfield, we have higher numbers. Now, that may have changed from the past. I can't say. I do know that when I approached the township, I came up with a proposal that would reap us $80,000 in revenue and save them over 20, and they chose not to do it.
I know that all of us would feel more comfortable if there were a more accurate cost analysis, including projections. Thank you.
Anybody else from the audience would like to speak?
Rudy Bashir, 191 Broad Street. Question. We're going to appoint the prosecutor and the judge. Their existing prosecutor and judge.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. McDonald, you're the prosecutor or the judge right now in that town. You're doing three courts. Now you're going to be appointed a fourth one. Are you going to take the same salary tomorrow as you are today doing three?
If I was in that position, I would probably ask for more.
You would probably ask for more. Okay. That's questionable. What about storage of records? Are they going to charge the borough storage?
No. All the records that they are statutorily required to have will be sent over to them.
They're not going to charge for storage of any records?
No, the initial cost for startup are a little more in 2010 and subsequent years to account for bringing all of the documentation over their property.
Next question is, what if their prosecutor and judge don't want to be appointed by the borough as a fourth, you know, judge court?
My understanding when I spoke with Mansfield, and I spoke with our judge, who happened to be the same judge, his exact words were, you appoint the judge, the venue is irrelevant.
That's right. The venue is irrelevant. The salary.
The CFO in Mansfield said before he presented this to me, all of the professional staff were made aware of this, and that's what the numbers are based off.
So we're not going to pay anything more?
No. According to him, no. We personally will not be paying anything more. Remember, our portion is 33% of the overall operating budget for the sheriff's court.
So their judge gets the same amount, no matter how many cases or who comes in?
They may appoint their judge with X fee, whatever fee is. Remember, like any other shared service agreement, when you enter into a shared service agreement, in this instance, you lose all authority over the operation.
So they could come in June and say, okay, well, we're going to appoint our judge and prosecutor, and because they're doing a fourth municipality, we're going to give them a 25-30% raise.
All four municipalities are going to re-execute this agreement if we join in with actual numbers. These numbers here are under the assumption that all four re-sign it.
So we're going to pay for ticket books yet. It'll be our responsibility to get the ticket books.
Yes. We still have to purchase the ticket books for citations.
So
same thing with the police.
I just find it hard to believe that these professionals, lawyers, will accept additional work without any compensation.
I didn't say that they would not accept it without compensation. I'm saying all of their salaries are addressed in the four municipalities' payments. We are not the ones writing the salary checks to them.
So what you're saying is, like Mr. Bashir said, if they got a 30% increase, that 30% increase would be spread out over four municipalities, not just one.
Theoretically correct, yes.
I'd be complaining like hell if I'm going to pay an increase for somebody else coming into my, you know, backyard.
But also the projections, Rich, you said the judge said that they didn't anticipate any additional...
Mansfield said they did not anticipate any additional full-time staff.
Well, not only that, but sessions, court sessions.
Oh, any additional sessions.
So, the question is, if you have a court session that has 30 people in it, and you have additional five people added...
No, let me clarify. Any additional Washington Borough court session.
Oh, okay.
Washington Borough. They are held separate.
Okay.
Just to give you an example, of course, Washington Township $94,000 last year joined, they brought in $81,000 in revenue. So when all said and done, it cost them $13,000 a year to have their court.
So Mansfield basically could have four court sessions a week.
Yes.
And our professionals are going to do it gratis.
Well, whatever they're going to do it for is included what's in the draft. We don't have a breakdown of what those numbers would be.
I'm leery of those numbers.
We give up the authority when you enter into a shared service.
You're right, we give up everything. We're dead.
Yes, sir, you had comments next.
Angelo Perucci, 5 Oak Ridge Road. Is there a way that we can inquire from the township or Oxford how much they've saved in the last couple of years?
Sure.
That we can have something to go by.
Like I said, I know last year it cost them 94 and they brought in 81. That's what
I mean, compared to when they were on their own.
I don't know. Well, Washington was never on their own.
So that's
a bad example. I don't know off the top of my head if Oxford ever had their own either. I'd have to check.
I think they did.
Okay, I can check.
And if you could just check also, like, will we have any other additional cost outside of numbers in this agreement?
That's what he told me, and I asked him that question. I'll be happy to ask him the question again.
Yeah. It appears that the only other cost we might have would be the public defender. That I see we need clarified. And Mr. Perucci's comments are valid also to see if we can figure out what the other communities say.
That's going to be a hard number to get. I mean, I can get an actual number, but of course that varies on caseload.
Right.
But I can find out what
it costs. I can get what they saved in 2008.
Does anyone happen to know if Oxford had a separate court before they joined? I don't know.
I think they went to White Township.
I think it was the North Warren Regional Court.
So they never had their own court. They were always partnered with someone else. Yeah. Of course, then it's going to be hard. I mean, I can get that, which is the easy part. But when you're going from one share to another share, you don't have the same costs as if you host it yourself, so it's not really going to compare apples to apples. But I can get some numbers.
And is there any way to find out, you know, because all of this might be, you know, a moot point, you know, if she would not take the four.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there some way you could just
find
that out before we, you know,
they will not. They will not entertain anything until they get a signed agreement from both municipalities, which I found very disturbing. What also concerns me is this is showing it's going to cost us $120,000 this year. If I can save the difference on that, I find it very difficult to swallow that the AOC would deprive us of that savings, as long as the services are equal or better.
Explain what you said first. They would not entertain.
The AOC has to.
Oh, the AOC.
The administrative office of the court
right.
will not determine whether or not it's permissible for us to go there or not until both municipalities execute a final agreement.
And in this case, it's four. All four of us have to.
Well, no. They're only. Well, correct. The three have an existing one already.
Uh-oh.
What this would do is all four would do it. In essence, we don't have the starting and ending date of the same. So this one ending in 2010, this one ending in 12. It's all starting and ending the same.
And so, out of curiosity, if you have another fourth come in, is that having four, did everyone reach savings that way? Like, are we now saving the township money because we're coming in, or?
If you look on page...
The cost would be spread out over four instead of over three. By default, everybody would save money.
I mean, as far as what the specifics are, it's going to vary. If we have 10,000 cases a month and township has 3,000, they're subsidizing.
So they wouldn't have any objections to us coming in the other towns.
Well, the other towns would have a say, because they're entering into agreement with Mansfield. They're not entering into agreement with us.
It would be like our police shared service
consolidation.
Washington Township has it now. Oxford is coming in. We really had no say in it other than saying we'd like to share in whatever savings.
Okay.
And that was taken for what it was worth.
So the way this agreement is written, if the three existing municipalities right now, it'd be like the regional school district. If the school budget goes down,
mm-hmm.
one municipality does not agree with any cuts, the school budget stays as it is. So in this agreement, if one municipality says, no, we're not in favor of changing our agreement with Mansfield, that means we would be left out.
No, we could still go in, absolutely. His proposal was to have all four re-execute the agreement with the same starting and ending date for housekeeping purposes.
But I think
there's no intention by Oxford or the township to leave.
Or to vote down the agreement.
Correct. Absolutely not. Because the bottom line is if they vote, as an example, if both of them vote down the agreement, they, aside from the fact that they have to give a six-month out clause, they have to find somewhere else to go. They still have to provide court services.
Okay, so if they voted down the agreement, we would still be going in.
Yeah.
They would just be leaving.
Correct.
So the only people that have to approve the agreement is Mansfield.
That's correct.
And the judge.
That's correct.
Well, the assignment judge.
But how would that go if, let's say, in that agreement...
The numbers might change, if that's what you're getting at.
Right, so if the numbers change, the savings may not be...
When I spoke with Mansfield, none of the other municipalities had any issue with us coming in. Now, that's not to say in 6 months, one of the governing bodies in this municipality may change their mind. Obviously, that's an unknown. When I spoke with them last week, all of the municipalities were on board.
And the court costs would go to Mansfield, and
correct.
The revenue from the...
Any summons is issued, and our jurisdiction would still come back to us, our respective portion that we're allowed to by statute.
And that's according to state law.
Yes.
State statute.
I mean, the state, whatever we're allowed statutorily comes back to us. They do not receive any of our revenues.
And the court costs help offset the cost of our costs, or they offset the total cost.
In other words, his question is, does the revenue that's generated from tickets, does that offset the expense side, or does that come back to you?
It comes back to us.
No, I mean the court costs.
Court costs and revenue are pretty much the same.
$50 fine, $10 cost of court. What happens to the $10?
Oh, they get, and it says that in here. Anything above beyond statutory, they receive. It says that on...
Okay.
Hold on, I know it's in here.
Oh, they get all the court.
Yeah, I just wanted to point it out because
they're the whole site.
Right, but bottom line, that reduces our cost.
Wait,
it's the second year.
Receipt.
Yeah. Reduces our receipt.
Revenue.
If we're entitled to $50 for a traffic ticket, we're getting $50. Now, if that's $50 and you go to court, it becomes $50 plus 10 court fees, we still get our 50, they get the 10. The only thing we receive is the revenue costs from the summons is issued. Any court-imposed costs, court fees, duplication fees, what have you, go to the host community, in this case, Mansfield. It says that in here.
Well, we can raise our court costs.
Mr. Cushing, is there a statute that states how much you can charge for court costs?
Maximum is 33, and of that 33, about 3 or 4 go to the state for various funds.
Ladies and gentlemen, what would you like to do with this? We want to wait for the information that we've requested from the manager and talk about it again next meeting. We want to enter into the agreement.
If I may, I don't mean to interrupt. If anyone has any issues or questions on the terms of this, I would not necessarily recommend you take action on the current terms and conditions.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
please
authorize the manager to further negotiate on it.
Right.
Can you check from
Mansfield and come to our next meeting?
If he's available, I can ask him. I don't know what schedule is, but I can ask him. That's the second, first?
Yeah, I'll make that motion, or if he can be here, second it.
Second.
And that includes tabling this until the next meeting, correct?
Correct.
Okay, any other discussion on that?
Would it be possible, Rich, if you could get any kind of projections, like harder projections about savings over the next 3-5 years, assuming that you have your 3.5% increases, stuff like that?
I mean, in essence, our current cost, if you multiply 4%, is really what it comes down to. There's not going to be much more over that, aside from any capital purchases. If we made $10,000 to $15,000 worth of capital purchases this year, chances are, unless there's a major catastrophe or rule change from the courts, we wouldn't need to make any other infrastructure improvements. So in essence, it's that $201,000 times 4%, times 4%, and so on.
So you're talking about $8,000 a year extra every year?
Approximately, right.
All in favor of having the...
One more thing. If there's any specific questions council has on this, please let me know so I can ask him to come prepared to the meeting. I'd rather have him come with numbers than sit here and say, I'll get back to you.
All right, then. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, do we really need to talk about reaching out to other municipalities for shared service agreements? Because I think we're already doing that.
What does that include?
One of the ones that was recently proposed was the possibility of entering into a shared service agreement with the township for municipal tax collection services.
Municipal tax collection.
Do you need a motion for that, Mr. Mayor? Hope that was down further on the list. My apologies. Do we need one for that, or do we just want to continue negotiating on that?
The township, when I spoke with them, the township administrator and the township mayor are in agreement with the concept. I think it would be a very simple shared service agreement that both municipalities can agree upon probably at the second meeting in February, with a start date to be determined.
Good, and I guess we could use a motion to see if to authorize the manager to continue those negotiations, if so desired.
I'll make a motion to direct the manager to move forward with tax collection services. Negotiations.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that?
Yeah, I have a question. If we're going to do shared services with everything we have, why don't we open talks with the township for a complete merger and save all this time? What are we doing?
The big problem is that the township is not ready to open those negotiations.
But they're ready to take us piecemeal.
Well, they're also not ready to take our $12 million in debt.
But listen, if they contacted the DCA, they would know that the DCA will allow a merger of the municipalities with the borough still paying their rate for their debt, and the township paying theirs until it equalizes. And when it equalizes, then everybody pays the same.
I don't believe that's...
That is a fact. You might want to check that, Mr. Mayor.
Well, when I was down at the league, I heard Mr. Piper talking about that. He talked about it as if it was a proposal that was...
They'll allow it.
Because he referred to that as a special taxing district in order to get rid of that debt.
My point is this. If the way the state is going, they're going to force us to do this anyway.
Yes.
So why are we wasting the time? Why don't they use us like they're doing with the police merger as the poster children for this? The township and Mansfield, we're paying the bulk according in this court. They're making money off of us. We're talking about raising taxes 30 cents this year. With the court going, that realizes a savings of 3 cents. So now we're down to 27 cents and we don't have a court. What are we doing?
We do have a court, though, right? We're just going to a different venue. So, I mean, we're playing games here with words. I mean, this is...
Absolutely.
The goals of the township don't meet the goals of the borough right now. That's really what it boils down to.
I don't know. I think that maybe if we sent them a letter saying that as a whole, we are interested in doing it.
We can certainly do that again and see what their response is. Mm-hmm.
Does that mean a motion?
Sure.
All right, I'll make the motion to send a letter to the township about merging.
Second. Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And any abstentions? Okay, next thing we have is borough-owned property. Mr. Fallon, would you like to give us a little more detailed list of what the borough-owned properties are?
Last year, October, council was sent a list of all the borough-owned properties, along with tax maps, basically outlining where those properties are. These are all, very few exceptions, vacant properties. I'm not considering any existing property that we're using. These are properties that, for whatever reason in the past, we've come to own, are not encumbered under state regulations to preclude us from selling vacant lots. The question is, does the borough want to sell these lots? Based off the list and the tax maps that I gave you, if so, which ones? I need to get that in order should this go forward.
So you need that authorization in the form of a motion?
Yes. if council is in agreement to, in essence, move forward with disposing of any of the borough-owned property that we're not using, there is a provision in the law that will allow, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is you're permitted to sell to contiguous property owners without the public bidding.
If it's a substandard lot.
Yes, and all these are non-conforming lots. It's not like you can build a house on them or anything of that nature. My recommendation would be to come up with a list of the properties you want to dispose of. I can reach out to all the contiguous property owners to see if anyone's interested. If they're interested, we can go through the process. If they're not interested, we can go out to bid to the highest bidder.
Being as they're substandard lots, what could be done with those lots?
Increase your property size.
Assuming it's not a contiguous.
If it's not a contiguous, no one wants it, chances are you won't sell it. But,
but what could somebody do with it?
It depends.
If it's close.
It depends on where it's located. It could be for parking. It could be for just expanding the size. If the contiguous property owners don't purchase it, I doubt the property will sell. I just don't think it's going to happen.
The only case that it would sell in that case would be like if it was the building envelope, let's say, was close. So they could apply for a variance, and if they got the variance, they could build a house. In those cases, most of these lots, from what the property maps look like, they don't look big enough to support a house. But again,
and just to dovetail on that, the large properties that we do own that are encumbered, as an example, there's a recreational property that we own, we will not be touching. This is non-conforming lots. In either residential or commercial area, not conforming lots.
How much will it cost us to do that?
Time, closing costs, things of that nature. Once I get the final list and council's okay, I'll have a better idea.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cost less if it's one than it's 30, obviously. So once I can get final numbers, once you tell me what you'd like to do.
Based on
and if we can, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. If you can sell it to the contiguous property owner, it's less because you don't have time to go out to bid and all those associated costs.
Based on the manager's note to council on October 30th and the property maps that were provided on November 6th, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the manager to sell off any and all borough real properties that are not needed.
Second. Any other discussion on that? That is this motion include going.
Do you want to say in accordance with the list that the manager supplied?
Okay. I thought that was assumed.
What you've been offered, sort of.
Right. Based on my comment, though, it says what was provided to us.
So you don't need a specific list from us anymore?
Nope. I gave you guys all the list. If you're okay with it, I'll move forward and I'll start doing the legwork to see what the costs are.
Okay. Is there any other council comments or discussions? Mrs. Truman, if you would come up to the podium, please, and make your comments.
Just a simple question, actually.
That's okay.
Tina Truman, I live at 40 Alvin Sloan. Can a list of those properties be posted on the borough website?
I don't see any reason
why they
not.
Get
Before the sale?
Yep, or soon, so folks
can
see
can
them.
Can we do block and lot? Would that be just easier?
I have them both. Whatever you like,
yeah,
I can do.
Yeah, I think the address and the lot.
Maybe
lot.
Well, not every lot has an address.
Okay.
Because if there's no physical property, it might just be a block and lot.
Okay.
If it's an abandoned open field, with no physical address.
So would block and lot be sufficient?
It would be sufficient for me because I would know how to look it up, but
I don't know if it
would be helpful.
We could put the block and lot in the page number on the tax map.
That might be more helpful, yeah. Just so folks can kind of have an idea of what's where.
That's fine.
Great, thank you.
Rich, if you get...
It might be...
Rich, if you provide that to me, I can get it on the website pretty quick.
Yeah, I was going to suggest you're reciting the block and lots now, but that probably wouldn't mean much to very many people. Okay, is there any other discussion on this? Let's have a roll call on this. It's going to deal with some money.
Okay.
Yes.
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 Valheim?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
All right, any other
we have auction off borough-owned surplus equipment that we do not need.
Besides the old fire truck, is there other surplus equipment?
Not really. Nothing of substantial value.
So I make a motion, I make a motion.
The sewer plant?
I spoke with the cars that are there, none of them run. I spoke with our attorney's office. They gave me the information on the ordinance that would have to be passed. My recommendation is rather than spend time and money to literally lose money because the vehicles aren't worth anything, was to donate it to the County Fire Academy for training purposes.
Yeah, so we already talked about this in another meeting.
But, the ordinance hasn't been prepared. I wanted to do it all at once.
So I'll make a motion to sell the fire truck.
Yeah, that's going to go up like the eBay auction site kind of thing?
It has to be gone either in-house auction or internet auction.
Any other discussion on that?
And we'll do a minimum bid?
Maximum bid. You mean for when it goes on a website?
Yeah, right.
Yes,
minimum.
Sorry. Right.
There has to be a stipulation that that can't go to another first responding.
Well, we'll have to clarify, and I spoke with the chief on this earlier. Theoretically, anyone can buy it. They just can't use it for active fire calls. What do you call them, ceremonial?
Ceremonial, break fees, something like that.
But theoretically, anyone can buy it, but we just can't use it for active.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? And now we come up to the library. Some of the options are funding the library at its very minimum, which would probably cause a reduction in its operating hours.
That's the short and the long and short of it. The question is, does council want to reduce the funding to the library? And as a result of that funding, it's going to cause further reductions in serviceable hours.
Well, they seem to be the only one in the budget information that we got who did not request more. They actually, their numbers are a little lower in
correct.
2010. So
that's correct.
And I propose at the last workshop that we try and establish a library foundation. I'd still like to pursue that further.
There's
we
nothing
try
for
at least so that they start.
I confirm this.
Make money on their own.
With our attorney's office today, there's nothing precluding that from happening now.
Okay.
Library can generate funds, whether it be through a foundation that's created by an outside group, a bunch of volunteers from within the community.
Okay.
That can be done now.
Well, I mean, a separate legal foundation.
Well, in order to create a separate legal, non-profit entity,
yes.
Someone has to take the reins there. We can't create a non-profit entity to raise their funds for them. Someone else has to take the initiative.
Janine, are you talking about an agency or a not-for-profit corporation that would be going out raising money for the library to assist the existing library in its operations?
Exactly.
Yeah. That would normally be done by a group that would get together, form a not-for-profit corporation, and then go out and do fundraisers. Or
right.
Town of Clinton has one for its emergency squad, for its emergency services agencies. Where they go out and they have fundraisers and then they donate the money to the for the squad and the fire company.
Okay, well, then I'll see if it's a library. Maybe they can do that. But I am not in favor of reducing hours because they went through a lot of cuts last year.
Also, what about, I was wondering, but being part of the, county system?
The way it would work, if the local library would like to be a member of the county system, that would have to be approved via referendum vote. The voters of the municipality would have to say yes. Once the voters said yes as part of the referendum question, they would say, do you want the local library to become part of the library system effective X date, whatever date that might be. That has to be done via referendum.
Well, should we do that in the June, put that on the ballot and see what the...
I think that would have to be done in November.
November?
Off the top of my head, I don't know what the timeline is for referendum to be paid.
I think you could put them on, but you pay for it.
Yeah, how much?
Oh, right, there is a cost.
Right.
But it would have to be at the November election, right? You couldn't do it in a primary.
I'm not sure you couldn't do it another time, but I think it's going to cost you more to run a special.
Right.
Well, no.
They're referring to the primary.
Yeah, you couldn't do it in the primary because that's.
Well, that's probably right. No, because people are voting by party as compared to the general election.
So, you either have a special election dedicated to one question or have it placed on your November ballot.
Could you find out how much it would cost to put it on the November ballot? And then the people can say what they like.
Can you find out how much it would cost us to join the county system? Because once we give that up, that our county tax will increase for the library.
Right. And that would have to be part of the referendum.
If we're paying $270,000 a year now for the library, what will we be paying if we become part of the county system? And I think that was Oxford's big concern was they were paying over Washington Township, where they were paying like $350,000 because they said we would have realized a $150,000 savings right along with them. And have we talked about coming in here?
Them?
Yes.
Township?
That's how the...
No, I think it was, hold on, I don't remember the date. Actually, it's the same date. I believe for the court that I sent you that memo. They have to do it via referendum as well to get out of the system. And when I spoke with the county, it takes between 18 and 24 months after the referendum passes before they can come in. That gives both governing entities time to budget accordingly. Sooner if they no longer want to provide that service. But obviously, if they would want to come here, they're going to want to provide the service. So if the township passed a referendum today, we would not have them be able to join ours for at least 18 months.
But if we had a referendum in November, we could say on January 1st, we're going to join the county system.
That's correct. I'm letting you know what the law says. I'm not agreeing that it makes sense.
Well, Mrs. Levy, you made a comment earlier about the library. Would you like to make that a motion?
Make a motion not to cut hours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Is there any opposed?
Me.
Aye.
And any abstentions? Okay, thank you. I guess that makes the second part of that.
Audience.
Mrs. Rose, if you would come up, please.
Barbara Rose, the library director. I just wanted to kind of address one of the things about the cost of joining the county. According to the statistics from 2008, which is the last year that we have statistics for, our per capita cost was $49.41. Their per capita cost was $61.24. In addition, we have like 7.5 books per capita, and they have like 3.8. So it wouldn't necessarily be, it would not be a saving to the citizens. It might be a way to transfer something from your budget, but the people would be paying more taxes.
Thank you.
Do
you have that as a report, Mrs. Rose?
I can give you a copy of it.
If you would let the manager have it at your convenience so that he can include it for our information. Thank you. Okay, miscellaneous financial. Reconsider the purchase of the new park, which is what we're talking about, is the next to the parking lot that was just built downtown, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. I have a question for clarification. How do we do this after it was already voted on and passed? I asked the manager this before, and I was told there's a loophole because there's a different section that's being voted on.
That was for a different bid. That was about the garbage we're talking about. I was talking about the park.
Right. Okay, so how can this be brought up if it was voted on and passed?
This was an agreement that's yet to been executed with the Business Improvement District.
There was an actual vote that was taken.
Correct, but no agreement's been executed yet.
There is a pending agreement once we get all the documentation. I would say that the spirit of the vote takes precedence here.
I guess according to Victor, I wasn't aware of this. We're moving along. They did the environmental test.
Mr. Remy, you're here. You want to give us the latest update on the environmental tests, what you've heard?
Well, in the cost of being responsible to all the citizens and for accounting for every single penny that we spend, we didn't go further on legal fees to execute the agreement. They couldn't in due safety, so we have back an environmental assessment. And we just received that. We have been asking for it for a long time. The property owners are ill and elderly, and it took them quite some time to get us that. So we have pushed on a very steady basis, and we finally have gotten that back. So, you know, it wasn't any lack on our part of interest or due diligence or facilitation. It was really a matter of waiting back for the environmental report.
Have you seen the environmental report?
Yes, okay. Yes. It is a 382 page with appendices. However,
you haven't completed it yet?
Actually, I have gone through the meat of it is probably the first 30 pages or so, which goes in detail about the current. A lot of what you provide in the current phase one in all of these appendices are things that we have all reviewed already and have been part of the park, because obviously parking lot. Because we obviously, when you look at an environmental study on the lot, you look at the adjoining property. So a good amount and bulk of the report contains the information from the adjoining property, which is not the part on the street front next to it, but the part of the parking lot all the way to the rear where we had actually removed and done the remedial action work plan. So based on the information in the report, to summarize, there is really no concern for our use, for our intended use of a park. The major concern is the concern of everyone, which is the 3,500 Superfund site. So it's about the groundwater and having monitoring wells, which is the status of the entire Washington Borough, Washington Township, and parts of Franklin Township. So there's nothing in relation to that site that is a concern. So we were all poised really to go forward on it and move forward and had planned on bringing it to you. Unfortunately, we did not get the report until Thursday afternoon, so I couldn't get it to the packages for 12 noon.
Sandy, everything you say is great, but I haven't heard you say one thing about any borings on the site of the park itself, any environmental tests that have been done on that site under the basement in that area, or the old hardware store lot itself. And that was one of the requirements that we set as a council. And what you've told us tonight so far mentions nothing about any of those borings. And I do not know of any borings that have been done on the park property.
There was a request to have actual specific borings into the park property itself. I thought we requested a phase one environmental.
That's what was done. A phase one environmental study.
Phase one environmental we did as part of buying that park.
No, we did the phase one.
If I may clarify, boring was from the park, the parking lot side. As part of the park, it was the main premise was making sure there's no environmental contamination.
How do you do that without a boring?
After we spoke with our engineer, he said a phase one assessment would clear or not clear the property.
I would just suggest that everybody take the time to I am so sorry that it couldn't be distributed and we couldn't have time to review it. I think we should read those 30 pages because it specifically talks about all the borings that were done on the parking lot and how...
If I may, I don't think the issue tonight is whether or not the property is clean or if it's contaminated. I think the issue tonight is that the Borough Council want to rescind its obligation of $100,000 to purchase the property. I mean, I glanced over the report. I got it today. I looked at it, and it appears that it's clean. The question is whether or not we can afford another $100,000 net in addition to the cost associated with the parking lot.
That $100,000
I'm sorry?
Is that $100,000 going to be taken out of this budget?
No.
What is that $100,000 do, and how much is the bid paying down on it?
It's going to
cost $85,000.
It's still going to cost us $85,000
in 5 years.
In addition to about what, the 360 for the parking lot, give or take? The final numbers, approximately?
Yes.
So, and we already have 310 of that.
Correct. The question is, do we want to take steps now to lessen the financial burden in the future? We cannot make steps just to look out for 2010. It's prudent to take steps that look out for 2010 and beyond. The only way to get our debt down is to not incur more. And I think the concept of having a park there is a great idea. I said that at the last meeting. I think it's a beautiful spot. I think it's a great place. I just think the timing is not good for us right now to incur more debt. We cannot keep incurring more debt. Now, this will not affect 2010. This will help us in the future, pure and simple. And please don't mistake me putting that there as a savings for 2010. That was not why it was placed on this list. It's prudent upon me to give you the good and bad for short and long-term savings, not just today.
Mr. Cushing, do you have an answer to my original question?
Well, yeah, your original question, as I understood it, and I'll make sure I'm looking at Cushing's manual here. and I think we've followed this rule many times in this body, which is the General Roberts Rules, which says the budget motion is decided, then it can be reconsidered, but usually upon the application of somebody who voted in favor of the motion. In other words, they have to make a motion to put it on the table for reconsideration, and that motion either passes or doesn't pass. That's, I believe, the rule this body has followed over the years.
Thank you.
Saying we should have a motion as to whether we're going to reconsider this or not.
That's what you would
have to do. By a
majority. Somebody who voted for it would have to make the motion. That's the rule this body has always followed.
Okay, is there a motion to consider the... reconsider the purchase of the park?
No?
I just want to go on record that I was one that voted against the purchase in the first place.
I also voted against the purchase in the first place, so we can't make that motion.
I'll make the motion. Reconsider.
I'll second it.
Okay, rest of the discussion.
You can second, though?
I think so.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on this? Okay, and the motion is to bring this up to discussion for reconsideration, correct?
Right.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Aye. Any abstentions? Appears to me the motion failed. Next is the sewer billing. Bringing the collection in-house.
Just an update, excuse me, on that. I spoke with the CFO, who is reaching out to our finance company that handles our financial software, and we're going to be making arrangements to bring the sewer billing in-house. As a result, that will save us approximately $5,000. It's a one-time cost of approximately $18,000. Right now, we spend approximately $5,000 a month for sewer billing. This will pay for itself in 4 months by bringing sewer billing in-house.
And when can we start that?
More than likely, if everything goes according to plan, we can have the future bills mailed out on a quarterly basis with the tax bills that go out in August.
For the next
billing? From August on.
From August on. And that's completely within the agreements that we have?
Yes. It's just an additional feature that we're purchasing on an existing piece of software.
And we have the manpower to accomplish this?
Yes.
And there's nothing we have to do with our current provider? I mean...
It's going to be the same provider. It's going to be Evans.
No, I'm talking about right now, Viola is...
Oh, no, 30 days notice.
30 days notice?
For their existing contract.
Okay. I'll make that motion then.
I second.
That's to bring it in-house?
Yes.
Okay, is there any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Next up we have make an annual contribution. I'm sorry. Mayor, come on up to the podium, please.
The tax and track in-house?
Mr. Mason, would you come up to the podium, please?
Yes. Gary Mason,
382 East Washington Avenue.
If you bring the collection of the taxes back in-house, does it mean we can then declare our taxes as a tax deduction?
The sewer billing, you
mean? Sewer bill. I'm sorry, sewer bill.
Sewer billing. I don't believe so.
No, because it's self-liquidating.
Yeah.
Used to be, when the borough collected them before, we could deduct it as a tax deduction.
Yeah, but at that time it was a self-liquidating sewer utility, Gary. It was a different mechanism.
Okay, it was just a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Mayor, I have a question as well. If you say that you can have to get raised by August, does that mean that the rest of the municipal finances will be in the clear by then?
Well, this is sewer. You're not comparing apples to apples in this instance. The process of fixing a decade or more's worth of problems will not happen in a year. We've been working on this in my short term here, and it's going to take quite some time to fix everything that's broken. If you're asking me for a drop dead date where everything's off, I can't give it because I have no idea.
Can you give an approximate date?
My goal is to get it done this year. But again, I only have part-time help in certain departments, and I'm relying on them in their part-time capacity to help with the assistance and fixing.
I don't find that acceptable.
Again, I can't fix a decade's worth of problems in a year.
I'm talking about the system, not all the numbers.
The system needs to be corrected. The system.
I think we've put everything into that one. Next one up was we have the annual contribution to the fire department. Rather than having them in as a municipal department, similar to what is done with the first aid squad.
Yeah, sure.
Earlier, at the end of last year, and it was presented to, and I met with members of the fire department this evening, actually.
The concept was not to separate the fire department, not to have them no longer part of the community. The concept was to write them an annual contribution payment the same way we do to the first aid squad. The check would be made. They could spend it however they choose. They would not be a municipal department that's guided by the state purchasing laws. They would not be a municipal department that's guided by internal policies. They'd be a separate nonprofit entity, which they are now, that we would make an annual contribution to. My goal and what was presented was come up with a number. There's certain fees that we pay. There's certain fees that they pay. Come up with a number, make that contribution on a quarterly basis to them, and let them spend their funds. I'm not recommending reducing their funds from what they're currently getting. Right now, when all is said and done, it costs us approximately, hold on a second, right here. $86,895.04 to run the fire department. Their departmental budget is $33,000. Those other costs are items that are budgeted in other parts of our budget. Wireless phones, fuel costs, postage, workers' comp, liability. I spoke with our workers' comp and our liability insurance, and my recommendation is to allow them to continue to use ours, because if they went out on the open marketplace on their own, the cost would be threefold. And that's a savings to no one.
So the main advantage to doing this is to cut down on paperwork?
This is not being presented to council as a savings for the borough. What we would save is staff time, processing payment vouchers, processing purchase requisition. What this is being presented as is a way to give the fire department autonomy on how it spends its funds without being bogged down with the state purchasing guidelines. I'm not recommending that we reduce their fees. I'm recommending you come up with a fee. They spend it how they choose. If they know in 3 years that they're going to need to make another purchase, like any other person in this room, you have to save up to be able to make that purchase. If they need to make a large capital purchase, there's nothing precluding them from coming before council and saying, hey, we need to purchase a new fire truck. This fire truck costs X dollars. We propose splitting the cost with you, X, whatever X might be, percentage might be. We're saying that by the time we're ready to purchase it, we'll have this money in place. Will the borough put up the rest?
Okay.
There's nothing precluding that from happening. The concept of this is to come up with a fair and equitable number to provide them the same manner we do the first aid squad. First aid squad has a tax-exempt identification number, which they would use to make all their own purchases.
So we talk about this now, or you have to make a motion to discuss this?
Before you comment, I'd like to hear what our chief has to say about it, if he has any comments, or if he's given the opportunity to make any comments.
As the manager, myself, my assistant chief spoke about earlier this evening, initially, it does not sound like a bad idea. However, we do have a few concerns. We would like to see those concerns addressed.
Okay.
We do believe there's room for communication from both sides.
You communicated those concerns to the manager
in
your meeting?
That's correct. Okay. And essentially, our ears are open. We're willing to talk about it.
Okay.
If I may further clarify, the fire department is currently a nonprofit entity. This has zero effect on their current agreement with the borough for building usage. They still will be a nonprofit entity. We're not changing that at all. They're still going to have all the rights and authority they have now. The difference is the source of funding, instead of them coming here, entering a requisition, and going through the approval process, we write them a check four times a year. They spend it how they choose.
Mrs. Levy, you have some couple questions?
So we would still be paying the additional, like, $53,000 for, like, the liability and all those other things?
They would, as part of the number that council would have to come up with, whatever contribution number is set by council. Now, what I say, my recommendation is have the borough maintain the liability and workers' comp.
And that would be a separate line item from what the fire department has to pay?
It's a separate line item now. We maintain that now.
And we continue that.
And we would
and it would stay that way. This would not affect their operating costs. If they went out on the open market, that, $17,500 would probably be closer to $50,000.
So is it only the, I'm just trying to understand the numbers, is it, since it's not a cost savings proposal, is it
no.
only the, say currently the operating budget is $33,000, say that, is that the number that you're kind of looking from council to give to them, and everything else would remain the same?
No.
Or what other things are they be expected
sure.
to pay for now?
Right now there's $33,000 approximately. Goes towards their training,
right,
towards vehicle maintenance,
allowance.
Towards uniform, all that stuff. The other things that we pay for and keep track of in a separate line item is
right,
things like telecommunications, wireless phones, cell phones, postage. They don't spend much postage in a year, but the bottom line is council will come up with a number, a flat number. And that number would be doled out, if you will, four times a year in a calendar year. And they can spend it how they choose.
I guess I would
we're
just need to know what's in addition to that $33,000 operation budget, how much more do we need to like kind of give them?
That's at your discretion. I mean, that's something that
but
I want to.
I don't
say.
Know
if you
what
agree
they
with
need money for.
I understand that. If you agree with the concept, I'm going to sit down with the fire department and come up with these numbers.
Do we currently pay liabilities for the EMS? How much do we give the EMS?
The EMS is a separate building, too. Remember, we don't own any equipment in that building. We own all of, I shouldn't say all, we own a lot of the fire equipment. We still have to maintain the auto insurance on that. If we didn't own anything and they were just leasing our building, that's a different story.
Okay.
So this is a little, it's not a black and white issue because we have assets owned by us, used by the fire department.
Rich, are the concerns of the fire department easily to be taken care of?
I believe so, and I think these are things that can be addressed in the final agreement. They maintain the vehicles now out of their line item. They make purchases out of their existing line item. I think we come up with a number that encompasses, a realistic number that encompasses their fees, so whatever they need to spend, plus in their current line item, plus things like wireless. And say we come up with a number. Whatever that number is what would be sent to them, agreed on by council. Now, some of the issues that came up were things like emergencies. If a machine dies and it's, three quarters of the way through the year and there's no funds for the repair, say it's a $20,000 repair, it's a major repair. Now, it's our equipment. I think it's incumbent on us to maintain our equipment as best we can if they can't. For financial reasons. But on the flip side, there's a reality to that.
I mean, even if everything stayed the status quo as it is now, and they came to me with a, you know, $20,000 damage in December, I don't know necessarily know if I could afford it in December, even if things stayed the same. It has to be looked at on a case-by-case basis. I mean, we spent a lot of money on the equipment. I think it's incumbent on us to maintain it properly, or at least the funding be available to maintain it. But on the flip side is, like anybody else, if you can't afford something right now, you have to wait till you can. The chief mentioned some things down the pike that are going to be changing statutorily in the future. You know, conceptually, it might cost, what was it, about $78,000 we spoke about in 2000?
Yeah, fire department.
We talked about in 5 years how there might be a change in state regulations which might require approximately an $80,000 expenditure. Now, that can be addressed two ways. I think it's incumbent, if this goes forward, that the fire department slowly put some money away, as well as, you know, continue your fundraising efforts. And if they can come to an agreement with the borough council, the cost can be split between the two, because in essence it becomes similar, if you will, to a capital expense, where in that instance, say our obligation, we're giving them, you know, the 33 a year, but we also need a one-time $40,000. So for that year, you give them more to offset that, and then the following year it can be level again. It's solely at the discretion of council working with the fire department.
Chief. Every year we come up with a number.
Yes, which is what we do for
them. Chief, those issues that you spoke about earlier, do you believe they can be resolved?
Yes, and they're rather simple. One was, say the number is X. Well, 2 years from now, the amount that's actually donated is Y, and it's significantly less, to the point that it puts a financial stranglehold and allows us or prevents us from operating properly. Or within the guidelines of the standard, which would also be improper. There needs to be a provision in there that says that that cannot happen. That is a big concern of mine. Also, we had spoke about emergency appropriations. God forbid something happened. Now, currently, we're pretty unlucky. The apparatus that we have, majority of it's fairly new and under warranty. The reason why we have fairly new apparatus is because most of the old stuff was bought just about the same time. It was due to be replaced, unfortunately, same time. We're not anticipating any large or significant expenditures in the immediate future. The one we spoke of before about the turnout here, the standards being changed, and somebody, this is not my doing, seems to think that I have a shelf life. And because of that, they're going to force into law that everybody needs to replace it periodically. Again, I don't particularly agree with that, but I might not have a choice. That is something that would concern me if we had to operate within a tighter structure. Now, mind you, the past 4 years we've been pretty much flat. We have not asked for an increase. Matter of fact, we have on our own decreased our budget by about 10%. That is perfect for me. That is how we want to operate. We want to be fiscally responsible to our community as we are responsible to our community. And I perceive that we will continue to be that way moving forward. Again, there's only a couple of concerns that I think that need to be addressed. And to answer your questions, sir, yes, I believe that we can ask them.
All right, thank you.
So what you're really looking for at the moment is just the authorization to continue on this path.
What I would
and
do...
see what you and the chief and others can come up with.
That's correct. What I would do is sit down with the fire department, come up with some more finite numbers. I would have to come up with some sort of agreement, if you will, and the only reason we'd have to come up with agreement is to memorialize, if you will, that they're going to continue to maintain our vehicles
right
as they are now. That's not going to be an additional expense because it's budgeted for in their appropriation now. It's just going to be memorialized that they continue to maintain it. There should be a provision, I believe, with the chief about some astronomical catastrophe. Remember, auto insurance is still covered by us. We own the vehicles. God forbid there's an accident, it goes through our auto insurance policy.
And that actually brings up a question. You heard what just happened in Belvedere with one of their fire engines being T-boned by somebody else, and I think their chief made the comment that it was going to cost the community a lot of money. Should something like that happen here, do we have the insurance coverage take care of that minus, you know, whatever the deductible might
be? We always have deductibles.
no matter what the accident is. You always have deductibles. Every year, when they just did it in November for 2010, they asked us an updated list of year, make, model, mileage of all the equipment. We provided that to our insurance company, which is what our rates are based on. We do have adequate coverage because they associate a dollar amount or so with each vehicle, you know, even if it's a pickup truck.
Should the vehicle be determined to be total?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have cost to replace or cost the value of the truck at that time?
It's always the value at that time.
Okay. So it could, if that happened here, we would be responsible for whatever the difference is between the insurance payment and the deductible of the new truck?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. But just to clarify, that would be the case if someone got the DPW. Same thing. Same concept.
Yeah. Well, just because this happened in Belvedere and Independence, I believe, recently, I just wanted to raise that question. Okay, what is your question? Oh, I'm sorry.
Rich McGuire.
Come on up to the podium, if you would, Mr. McGuire, please.
The agreement...
Up here, please. Sorry.
Oh, there he is.
Rich McGuire, 233.
West Washington.
The agreement that you're talking about, how you may be separating or the fire department's going to become another or additional 503C?
Well, there are currently 503.
But you're talking about changing that?
No, absolutely not.
Just the way you're budgeting?
The only thing that's going to change is how the fire department receives funds from the borough.
Okay, that's not going to affect any agreements that the fire department's in with the borough, for instance, maybe with the hall rent?
Absolutely not. I looked it up. The agreement is with the company. The fire company.
Okay.
Now you can go through 10 different tax IDs. We have an agreement with the fire company.
Okay.
So that doesn't change anything in there.
Thanks. Does that $33,000 include the stipend at the end of the year for individuals?
The uniform. Is that what you're talking about? The uniform?
The clothing.
They charge it out of their OE accounts. That's correct.
Okay. Much pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. Do we go forward with this?
I just have one quick comment before we go to that.
Sure.
If there's an impasse between the fire department and the manager, one says yes and one says no, we bring that to council. We're not going to leave that with the manager, correct?
No. Okay. This is solely a council decision. We're just going to come up with the issues. We're going to come up with a draft language, and it's going to come before council for approval. Nothing will be agreed upon by my office and the fire department.
Has this been done by any other community locally that you're aware of?
None that I'm aware of out here. I've worked with them in the past with municipalities.
It might be a good idea to get a resolution or an agreement from somebody else so that you have a working document that you can work off of. You know, maybe that'll raise some issues that weren't there before and may clarify some things.
Scott, I have a question for the chief.
Sure.
Chief, are the trustees of the various departments involved in this discussion?
This discussion is actually in its very infant stages.
Okay.
This is the very beginning. And I can say that the fire department is not for it or against it. We're open to talk about it.
Okay. So it would, any agreement such as this would be approved by the full body of the fire department?
It would be brought to the full body, and we would want to.
Okay.
If I may, just to dovetail off of that, I didn't want to bring all this information until I knew the fire department agreed in concept. I mean, we still have many issues to iron out.
Sure.
But I wanted to make sure they were agreement with the concept.
I think we should move forward with the discussions with the fire department, and I'll put that in a motion.
Okay.
Is there any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the next one is merging of the Board of Adjustment and the Planning Board into a Municipal Land Use Board. We have some data here about the various hours that have been spent here. I know we've asked the Planning Board and the Board of Adjustment for their comments earlier. I'm sure we're all aware of those. Now, how long would this take to implement should we vote to go forward with this?
I would imagine mid-year. I mean, if council would like it sooner, it could be sooner. If they want it later, it could be late. I would imagine mid-year. Just to give you, clarify some of the data you were provided with, of the 22 municipalities in Warren County, 8 have land use boards, 13 have separate planning board of adjustments. In 2009,
The planning board met for a total of 8 hours and 45 minutes with no new applications. And the board of adjustments had met for 10 hours, 48 minutes with 15 applications.
So the main savings here would be the cost of the professionals?
By and large.
And the part-time.
By and large. His statement was the main savings would be reaped from professionals and part-timers. This isn't necessarily being presented as a huge savings. What this is being presented as is efficiency. And there's, in the last 2 years, there's been two new applications according to planning board minutes. Board of Adjustment is busier, no doubt about it. If this would move forward, what would happen is the governing body would authorize it. It would have to be done via ordinance, correct?
Right.
And the planning board would then become the municipal land use board, and it would be a 9-member board. Where those other members are appointed from, its governing body appointees. The planning board would be responsible for both planning, the new land use board, rather, would be responsible for planning issues as well as board of adjustment issues. It's one board doing the job of it.
Let me ask a question, Rich. So we are looking at, practical-wise, approximately $3,500 in savings in salaries?
I mean, it's hard to, remember, the current professionals bill hourly, so it depends on how long the meetings are. At the current numbers, if 2010 stayed identical to 2009, we'd probably save about $5,000.
Okay. So it would be significant, then, even for half a year, it'd be around $2,500.
Correct.
And
again, it varies on meeting length.
The cost of the ordinance is about $350 to advertise.
I don't know what the cost of the ordinance is.
Depends on how long it is.
I mean, it'll be a couple of bucks.
$150, that's roughly. Repeal.
All right.
It's over 100 years.
I move we go forward.
Okay. We had the motion and the second. Is there any other council discussion on this? Hearing none, Mrs. Van Dorsen, if you would come to the podium again.
I'm going to speak on behalf of the planning board. I'll let the Board of Adjustment speak on behalf of themselves. In the discussions we had about this prior to this meeting, I think it was in the summer of 2009, we remembered that while you may think that there is a cost savings, if we don't have meetings, we're not paying our secretary, we're not paying our professionals. And while we may have only had 8 cases in that particular year that you examined, I was first put on the planning board in 1989, which I believe is 21 years ago. In the last 2 years, the number of applications that have come to us have decreased because of the economy, because we're not seeing development. We just spent a whole lot of taxpayers' dollars, more than what we budgeted for PS, to come up with a redevelopment plan so that we can hopefully, when the economy turns around, turn this community into something that's going to give us some ratables that are going to bring in the revenue that's going to help us balance that budget. When that happens, and I am an optimist, and you can criticize me for that if you like, because you wouldn't be the first one, I believe in Washington, and Washington was a wonderful place. When you start getting rid of all of your volunteers, you get rid of the heart of your community. What made Washington so vibrant and so wonderful is all the people in Washington that work together to make it work. So if you eliminate volunteers, it's bad enough we have to eliminate people from their jobs when people can't afford to live in their homes in the first place. Now you're talking about getting rid of more volunteers. When the redevelopment plan comes to fruition and people start investing in Washington, we're going to have an increased number of applications. I promise you that. And if you have only one board, what's going to happen is that board's going to have to meet more than once in 1 month. So your savings are going to go right out the window because that particular board is going to have to meet more than once. You're not going to be able to do 7 applications and a whole
site plan for, you know, whatever track we're doing. Those who lived through Baker, Washington Meadows, Mr. Sorellis' property, 150 times we've had applicants, those meetings go for a very long time. Remember that there are New Jersey laws that require us to work within a certain time frame, otherwise they get whatever they want, okay? Unless they allow us to have extensions, and some of them are nice, and some of them aren't. So I would be careful about how much we could save. I could think of a lot of other ways we could save $3,500. Personally, when I sat on the governing body, I didn't accept the salary.
Anyone else from the audience like to comment on this?
I just wanted to ask a question.
Sure.
When you talk about how it was set up, you said,
When you had said that so the Board of Adjustment, that those people will now become the Land Use Board?
The Planning Board. The way the statute reads is the Planning Board will assume the duties of the Board of Adjustment.
Okay. So how many total people are going to end up being eliminated as volunteer merchants?
I think it's whoever, it's either four or five on the Board of Adjustment side. The new board consists of more members than the Planning Board is. The new board is 9 members.
Correct.
Okay.
And the Planning Board is 7?
That's correct.
I just also, obviously we also firmly believe in the redevelopment plan, so I just wanted to make sure that there would also be adequate representation from the people who worked so hard on the redevelopment plan. I mean, as much as we all bring to the table, there's nothing to be said for the people who actually worked on the plan itself. I think that would be an important consideration for the new board, because I also, as we stand here, I strongly believe that we are going to move forward, and would like to do that for all of us.
Thank you.
Top Post, 2 James Street. I'm a member of the Planning Board. Yes, maybe we only had X number of cases come before us in the year 2009, but some of these cases stretched on meeting after meeting after meeting. So we have spent maybe a lot of time on one particular case. It's also my understanding that some of the proposals that may be coming up this year are going to be big cases. So you're going to be putting such a strain on the volunteers. And again, if you want to save $3,500, you shouldn't have got a raise.
Is there anyone else from the audience who'd like to speak? Hearing none, ladies and gentlemen, what is your pleasure?
Motion.
We do
that's for discussion.
Yeah.
That was the motion to discuss.
You made the motion.
Yeah, I made the motion.
I thought
you said
it was
for
a
motion
to discuss. Just for the record, clerk, we just see who made the motion. Who seconded it, please?
It was Councilman Housel made the motion to talk about, to move forward with combining the Planning Board with the Board of Adjustment, seconded by Councilman Valentine.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any other discussion on this? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
How many was that? Let's see the hands.
You want to just do a roll call?
Do a roll call, because I think it's going to be close.
Housel?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Peony?
Yes.
Leibert?
Abstain.
Higgins?
No.
Boyle?
No.
McDonald?
No. The motion fails. Next up, we have a discussion of sewer fees. As we have all been alerted to, our sewer fees are not meeting our expenses.
That is correct.
Okay, how about if before we do that, we get a motion for a 10-minute break?
So moved.
Yep. Second. Okay, any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
Abstentions.
You know about the planning board, don't you? You know somebody on the planning board, right?
And the board of...
Yeah.
Before we get started on the next item, it was brought to my attention that we had a motion that we did not vote on. So if the clerk would read what the motion was, and we can get that taken care of before we go any further.
This was a motion made by Councilman Cioni to continue negotiations with Washington Township regarding shared services for tax collection, and it was seconded by Councilwoman Gleba.
And what happened there is we went into the sending of the letter to the township. We took the vote on that, but not the first one. So all in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? And any abstentions? Thank you. And whoever pointed that out, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, that was you, Mrs. Higgins?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Keep me in line, will you?
I will.
The next, but not as tight as you heard. Next discussion is an increase in the sewer fees from its current level. Our current funding does not meet what our expenses are there. Mr. Fallon, if you'd like to continue on with that.
There is approximately $298,000 projected budget shortfall in the sewer department this year. It is considered a self-liquidating utility, but has rarely run as well. Now that we're correcting it and having it run properly, what's been happening is surplus has been used in large amounts but not regenerated in the current year. Meaning, if I needed $100,000 surplus in sewer to enable that department to run, you want to generate at least $100,000 or more back. What was happening is you were generating less than what was allocated, and that was going on for many, many years, to the point now where the sewer running at a deficit. In order for the sewer to pay its bills for operation, for debt service, the current $45 EDU will not meet that requirement. At our workshop meeting, council asked what dollar amount would be needed to break even, in essence, to reap that $298,000 back. If this had started January 1st, that number would have been $52. $52 reaped $321,000, meaning that would have refilled the deficit as well as contributed towards future surplus. The question becomes, what, if any, increase does council want per EDU, and when do they want it to go into effect?
Okay, so the projected numbers you have here, what would happen if it went to $50 to $51?
Starting at January 1st of this year.
Okay. And the soonest that we could make these take effect would be February 1?
By resolution, based on the current ordinance.
You could make it effect anytime.
No, but I mean, we have to pass the resolution.
Oh, yes, correct.
Yes. So theoretically, at our next meeting, if council chose to, a resolution can be placed on the agenda to make the increase effective.
Okay. So the soonest would be March 1st, then?
No, you can pass a resolution February 2nd, have it go into effect that day. For the next billing cycle, whatever you choose.
We could do it then.
What council should understand is, the fees should be justified in the sense that you want to make sure you can pay your operating expenses as well as your debt. When the debt goes away, there's absolutely nothing precluding council from amending the fees accordingly.
So in your best estimate, when would that debt go away?
10 years. Got to pay off the improvements of the sewer.
So we're halfway through. If I remember, that was a 20-year debt.
Mm-hmm. How much are we going to save by doing quarterly billing?
Postage.
That's it?
Postage and paper. $1,000. It's about $980 per month of mailing and whatever the cost of the actual sewer bill is, as opposed to mailing it once with four tabs.
the savings in billing, you said, would be about $5,000 a month that we would realize.
Right now, we spend $5,000 a month to have the outside contractor do all of our sewer billing, start to finish, including mailing out the bills on a monthly basis. If we bring it in-house, so it would be a one-time fee of $19,000 to get the system up and running, which would equate to breaking even in 4 months, because I wouldn't have to spend $5,000 that month for 4 months. And then after that, the only other thing we'd have to buy is another scanner to scan the barcode in, the sewer bill barcode. Mailing would be mailed out with your tax bills instead of being mailed monthly. It costs just under $1,000 a month for postage for total mailing for all properties.
So it'd be about a $2,000 savings.
How much is it?
Per month. Again.
Per quarter. If it costs us $1,000 a month.
Oh, well, no, you're talking postage. That's correct. No, keep in mind, we'd only mail it once a year, so it'd be $900 once. You know, $1,000 once in postage. So we'd save $10,000 in postage a year.
So we'd mail the bill out just like the tax bill.
You mail it along with the tax bill.
Payable quarterly.
Staggered quarterly, not in the same quarters as your tax bill.
Okay, and that would be up to the citizen then to pay it on time.
Correct. It would be broken down into four separate tabs. But that's just the procedural for the sewer billing. That doesn't obviously address the cost.
And do we have any surplus in the sewer account at the moment?
No. It's been used for over the years, and more was used than what was replenished. I can't say why in the past the sewer fees weren't addressed. To answer Councilman Higgins' question at our workshop, you made reference to $1 million of fuel investment. Mm-hmm. I spoke with Stephanie Lewis, and it was what I suspected at our meeting, but it was an artificial creation surplus that was to be used to offset it. But again, it might have used $200,000 a year, but only brought in $100. So it was a self-liquidating utility that was losing money each year.
I have a question. If we raise it, say, to the 52, which would make us get out of the debt, is this number locked in for the next 10 years, or what precludes you from 3 years from now saying we need to raise it again?
Council makes that decision.
Yeah, we review that annually, I believe.
But I mean, based on capital work that needs to be done at the sewer plant within the next 5 to 10 years that are, you know, upcoming, because I would assume the sewer project, you know, the sewer plant basically has is a bunch of equipment, right? So that equipment depreciates and breaks down and needs to be replaced. So they must have a capital plan of replacing pumps and whatever.
Right now, that's all addressed in the contract we have with Veolia.
Right.
They're responsible for all that.
Understood.
The current contract with Veolia expires in a couple of years, and we can renew it up to 5 years thereafter. What I would recommend is, I have it on my calendar, 2 years before the current expiration, council needs to decide whether or not they want to regain control of the sewer utility or continue to outsource the service. If we bring it in-house, there's going to be additional costs because there's going to be personnel that needs to be hired to operate it. If we continue to outsource it for that optional 5 years, which will bring you to 2018, that cost won't have to be increased to offset for manpower. There's contractual increases in the existing contract with Veolia Water now.
Well, I'm more concerned about capital replacements of parts and like big pieces of equipment that need to be replaced. I mean, if I'm looking at this similar to how the fire department looks at, you know, their capital plan 5 years down the road, they need to replace a pump and it's going to cost $200,000 in the next 2 years. Well, what I would want to make sure is that $52 over the next 10 years builds up enough surplus that anything projected over that 10-year period can be replaced with the surplus.
This $52 will generate $21,000 in revenue each year, in surplus each year, assuming operational costs do not go up.
Current I have, Rich, like I said at the workshop, we don't know why we're in debt on this sewer thing. You know, we made some examples that really weren't significant to say, well, because the state may incur more testing. That's not the reason. I mean, what's the reason here? Is it, like I said, is it mismanagement down there, that company that we hired to run that sewer plant?
Of
It's not because of lack of usage.
The answer to that is not because of mismanagement at the treatment plant. The reason that we have no reserve left is because of bad planning during the budget process. And I mean no disrespect by that. What I mean by that is the surplus from the sewer was used and it was over anticipated. In a real world, you might not be legitimately able to $300,000 savings if you use surplus, so you should never use $300,000 in savings. More savings was used without it being replenished. The same is general revenue. You cannot anticipate, if overall the borough made $500,000 in revenue this year, right, next year I can't anticipate more than five. But that doesn't mean it's prudent to anticipate five either. If you anticipate a decline in the economy, a decline in revenues, it behooves you to anticipate less. What was happening here was the match was being anticipated and not replenished.
I think, too, didn't John Corker fund $3 million down there that he canceled the bond on?
Well, bond is just authorization to borrow. That's not necessarily debt. Just because you authorize us to borrow doesn't necessarily mean that's debt. It doesn't become debt until you use it.
We were actually paying on it. He canceled it, right?
If I remember correctly, he used part of the surplus down at the sewer plant to pay off
debt.
Other areas.
See,
in the sewer?
Absolutely. The 89,000. You did 89,000 for something.
Yeah. No, that 89,000 was set aside for the drainage problem at the park.
No, that was set aside to do the Gardner's Court.
Right.
Be that as it may, not being here, this is only speculation. Right. But based on what I've seen, I think it was improper financial planning.
And that is
an overabundance on surplus.
Because when we redid the sewer plant, it was projected that after the third year, I believe, our costs, our EDUs would go up.
Okay.
I believe it
but
was
they didn't, correct.
About $45 at that point. And then 3 years later would go up again. This is all projections by Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
We held back on that because everything looked rosy. Everything mm-hmm. looked great. And in a way, we probably shot ourselves in the foot by not raising the rates as Stephanie had projected.
You may not always like the information I give you,
right?
But it's accurate information, the honest information.
If I remember correctly, at that time, too, Stephanie said an increase was not necessary during those times.
Yep.
Because she said revenues were good,
right,
and that we didn't need to, which segues into what is our collection rate on the sewer plant? I mean, is part of this because we're below?
Our collection rate is good. It's okay. Very, very good, our collection rate. That's not the issue. Even if we're at 100% collection rate, we're still $300,000 down projected for 2010. We used the surplus in the past and never regenerated. That's the main area.
I'm curious about what Terry and Dave were talking about with surplus from the sewer plant being used other places.
Well, legally you are permitted, the bond law does allow sewer surplus to be used to offset current funds.
Even in a self-liquidating
utility? Yes, you can. I don't recommend it, but there's nothing illegal about that.
You mean current funds like our operating budget?
You can use sewer surplus to offset current funds according to the local budget law.
We were never told that. We were told we could use it for any sewer project.
Well, you can use it for any sewer project, too. Now, again, I don't know what was done with this money in the past, because I'm only as good as the information I have now, but what I can tell you is it was used and not replaced.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, let me ask you this. 2007-2008,
mm-hmm.
The industrial users were not billed properly for their additional costs. And when John Corica was here, he had caught that.
Mm-hmm.
Did we recoup all of that money?
I wasn't aware that there was a deficiency from 2007.
Wasn't that the investigation that Frank Mangrovedi did?
I believe
right.
It.
Yes.
No, Frank did what the sewer plant was charging us, what the Veolia was
charging. Frank discovered it, though, and then Veolia came and admitted it, and we got back $80,000 or something.
We got back $69,000 from Veolia for what they overbilled us down there, but what Terry's talking about is there were I think it was BASF and American Can, they weren't billed for their surplus for like 4 years. And I think John settled it for like $60,000 from one and $80,000 from another.
Oh, it was a settlement agreement?
Yes.
So it was a one-shot settlement.
Can we make sure that...
it was all the three industrial units, the big ones?
Yes.
Okay.
And can we make sure that they're currently being built?
I know for a fact they're currently being built because they just revised, Stephanie just revised the industrial users fees for 2010, and it's going to be presented to council on the 2nd for their approval. For the industrial user fees.
Okay.
But I can double. You said this was 2007 into 2008?
It was 2007, 2008, and there may have been 2006 was involved there also.
And this was just improper billing for industrial users, and we don't know if they've been paid in full. Or we've been paid in full, right?
Actually, it was Veolia who didn't bill them properly.
Was this a settlement approved via resolution?
Yes.
It should have been, yes.
All right. So I'll pull the resolution, see what that amount is, and see if the revenues reflect it. Okay.
I have a question for you, though, on your utility EDU increase, projected increase. You say your last sentence there, do not reflect reserve capacity amounts, which would be adjusted if a rate increase was...
Because that's for the industrial users.
Okay, so...
Right now, our 2010 industrial user fee was based on $45.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that we're going
to give
them more.
Correct.
For the reserve.
That's correct.
Okay,
that's what it was. It was the reserve that they weren't paying.
So improper billing for the reserve?
Yes, if I remember correctly.
Okay, they're saying that they have more.
Is that right, Chris?
Yes, yeah. But then also the exact for instance, they cut down on the reserve they want.
Right.
Oh, they requested a reduction?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I can check. Be that as it may, I mean, I can check on this. The question is, what, if any, action does council want to do for 2010? And what date do you want it to go into effect, if it does?
Do we make a motion, Scott?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to raise the usage fee to $52 at the next... have the resolution prepared at the next meeting.
For an effective date of February 1? March
February 1st?
Yeah.
Next meeting would be after the
February 2nd.
Oh, February
2nd. Well, you can have it retroactive, correct? Like if we adopt on the 2nd, can you ever go? Well, you know what? The billing dates are mid-month.
Yeah, right.
The billing dates, yeah. So the next billing cycle.
Next billing, which
okay. I don't think it's going to do
it. No, so it will be the next billing
cycle. I'll amend the motion to make it mid-month of February.
For the next building cycle.
How do you expect people to keep paying for all this stuff?
Yeah.
Just wait. Okay. Any other discussion? Or do we have a second on the motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Is there any other discussion?
Councilman who made the motion, are you satisfied that this will take away of all the shortfalls from this day forward going to $52? We really haven't gotten any answers for prior practices, just an assumption of why we're in this mess right now. So we clean up the mess that we're in now to find out how we got here. Does this really need to be done just to throw money on top of money on top of money to correct the problem?
As part of
the asking councilman, because he made the motion. Like, are you 100% confident that this is the right thing to do based on the information we got here tonight?
Well, no, it's not based on the information we got here tonight.
What
is
it based on?
That we talked about in the budget sessions.
Okay, in the budget sessions.
So, yeah, I mean, based on all the information I've seen, based on past practices, we were running out of deficit. So we have to make that deficit up.
But are we correcting those past practices?
I believe we are.
Is there any other discussion?
There was a question about how do we expect to pay for it. We're in the same boat, and I know I am. I don't know if the manager pointed this out, but our dilemma this year is we have to come up with an additional $750,000. $725,000 to hold steady of where we are this current year.
But how did we get there? What did you guys do? And maybe it wasn't this group. Maybe it was the group before you. But
Jim,
how did you do that to the people that live in the town?
No, I understand his frustration.
Well, before the two of you get into it, what I'd like to do is just get the council comments, and then I'll give the audience a chance to comment on it, so, if that's all right with everybody.
Okay, is there any other discussion from the council on this?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
If we run into deficit with the sewer utility, what happens? You know, if we
don't increase it, if we stay at where we're at, where do we...
We're $300,000 in the hole. What happens? Where do we get the $300,000 from? And what happens to us legally?
The bottom line
legally?
This is the only self-liquidating utility I have seen that's not self-liquidating. To be quite honest, I've never seen a utility run into deficit before, so I've never been asked that question. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
Part of it was legal, too, Mr. Christie. Could you address
well,
that?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, it's just like running your house and not having enough money come in. It only puts it off for the next year, and instead of paying it for this year, the gentleman that asked the question is going to say it twice as loud next year, which is, how did you guys allow this to continue? You got to run a business so that you pay for what you're using.
But, I mean, is there anything that the state, legally the state says, listen, yeah, I mean, we have a budget, right, for the sewer plant, and
mm-hmm.
it's like our operating budget. If we
They could deny our budget. They could deny our budget and make us make changes to it. Because remember, we cannot adopt till they approve.
Well, what if we do it more like incremental? Instead of doing the bigger increase, you know, do $1 or $2 this year, and then next year do it, you know...
By all means, you're welcome to. And I'm not saying that that's a bad idea. What I'm saying is, in order to run like a self-liquidating utility in 2010, it needs $52 per EDU. I'm not saying do 52. You've asked me to tell you what needs to be done. This is what needs to be done.
So what you're saying is phase it in.
Phase it in, yeah. Is that possible, or are you only
going to... Phasing it in is not going to reap the $300,000 deficit in 2010.
Phasing it in might be more plausible if we actually had a surplus there that we could draw from.
Right.
But
yeah.
We don't have anything in the trust that you could transfer over? I mean, I don't know how any of that works, but...
Sewer? It's self-funding. It's fee-based. It generates its own revenue based on user fees. In this case, sewer usage fees. The fees that come in are supposed to pay for all its expenditures. That has not been the case here for many years. And I can only speculate as to why. I cannot make any definitive statement. I'm telling you now that after spending many months reviewing everything, and our annual financial statement for 2009 is underway now, we are looking at a $300,000 deficit.
Now, last year we did not have that deficit. We broke even or whatever. At the end of the year...
No, last year we didn't break even. We lost money last year, too.
So how did that money end up getting paid or whatever? Or are we, you know what I'm saying?
It's all in, what happened last year is, and please don't think I'm passing the buck here, what happened last year is we were working off of someone else's budget to get through the year on a short time frame in order to apply for extraordinary aid. Last year in 2009, it was not sufficient time to do all of these analyses combined with the fact that there was no CFO.
So what was the actual deficit last year? You're saying that we've been running at a deficit for a couple
years. I don't
have
last year's numbers in front of me. I just brought 2010.
When you're saying last, you're saying 08 or 09?
09.
09. So
that $300,000 includes 09 deficit plus projected 2010 at current levels. I'll be honest. I've never seen a self-liquidating utility...
So this is
not break even.
So this is 08, 09,
no,
and then...
this is 09.
09 and what you think 010 will be.
That's correct, based on current usage.
Rich, what bothers me is we raised it last year.
No. I thought it was 2006, if I recall.
2006?
Wow. But if I recall correctly, you had mentioned that when the sewer utility was created, it was stated that... certain years after it was created, the fee should be adjusted proportionally, but it never was. Why it wasn't, I can't say.
What bothers me is, are we missing something? Are we missing something when we raised this to 45? Where was it?
It could have been. I don't know what my predecessor said to you.
I think it would be helpful to have
Stephanie
come in. Would that help at all?
A pair. I mean, I spoke with her briefly the other day. She was out of state on vacation.
She gave me a synopsis, if you will, of, you know, the history of how and why. I didn't get into too many details because, again, she was away. But whether or not predetermined increases were decided at the time the utility's creation were implemented or not, I can't say. I can say that it was increased once since its inception. I can say that it's run at a deficit for many years. It's never replenished it. I cannot say whether or not this information was passed on to council. Obviously, not being here, it would be a guess. One day I'd like to come to you guys with some good news, believe me. As I've said before, doing it right is very difficult. And doing it right, I am finding more and more things that were done wrong, this being one of them.
Any other council discussion?
I'm still having a hard time understanding that. If we ran out of deficit in 2009, where did we get the money to pay?
In essence, it comes out of 2010 fees. Remember, sewer utility isn't like current fund. Yeah, sewer utility revenue comes in. The short version of it is this, and I don't know the number off the top of my head. Say it was 50 grand we ran a deficit last year. All right? So we'll just raise 50 grand in next year. That was the mentality for many years. And that's why it's finally come to fruition where we're at $300,000. And this is probably been going on for many, many years. I'll be quite honest with you.
I would feel more comfortable knowing exactly what each year was.
That I'd be more than happy to get that information to you. That doesn't change the fact that we're looking at $300,000 in 2010. I mean, I can give you a breakdown, and that may point the direction on where the fault lies.
I understand that.
That doesn't change the fact that
we're talking about $300,000 here. If we were talking about $150,000 in 2009, I don't see why we can't do a small increase.
Mr. Mayor, I think there's a motion already on the table.
Sure. This is part of the discussion.
Yeah. I want to let everybody get everything aired out here. Before you go there, Terry, what was the information that you were requesting, Dave?
Exactly what the deficits were.
Well, it would have all been in the annual financial statements and budgets everyone got, and they're all on the website. All the financial statements and the...
For 2009, that's that annual...
the nine are working on it now. I'm not going to know nine until the auditor is finished with his annual financial statement. I won't know the full dollar amount, if you will, until he's completed with where we were on December 31st, 2009.
Well, I think we make too many decisions without knowing the full dollar amount.
Well, you know what? I agree. But the problem is the longer you wait, the harder it is to fix. And if we discuss this for the next 6 months, this 52 might wind up being 58 to correct 2000. The bottom line is nothing in the past when it comes to doing this has been done properly. The tools to fix it aren't here. There's part-time employees in key positions, so there's not full-time oversight. I have only the tools at my disposal to correct it. Now, I'm not making excuses, and believe me, there's nothing more than I'd like. This information in front of you is what council asked for last week, which is where I provide it. What your question was, show me what I need to do to regenerate that $300,000 in surplus. That's what I provided you. Right? This information is not going to tell you how or why we got here. I can say
that
all my
specialists. I don't see the $300,000 here.
Right there, last column. Projected, $52 EBU.
Projected. That says 300. Yeah, you're right.
Correct.
I don't see the deficit of $300,000.
This was in the documentation provided to council at our budget workshop.
I don't see the $300,000, and you're asking me to vote for it.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean. You don't see the $300,000.
The documentation. You put a number down, $300,000. How do we get to $300,000?
Right there. $52 times the total number of EDUs.
Okay.
You're talking about where the deficit is for
yes,
$300,000?
Yes.
You're not talking about where it's raised?
I'm not talking about where it's raised, absolutely. I'm
talking
about
where
it's coming
from. What was it in 2009 and what was it in 2010?
I gave council what you asked for. If you want that information, I'll be more than happy to give it to you. The documentation provided by the CFO at our workshop addressed both of them, as well as the 2008 and prior annual financial statements.
Does it have the 2009 operating expenses on that form, on that paper?
No, because that's what's undergoing the
well, the final numbers are undergoing right now with the auditor. Okay. He's preparing the annual financial statement to give us actual balances as of December 31st, 2009.
What the actual operating
expenses. That's correct. That's correct. I can tell you right now, if anything, the number is going to go up. It will not go down. The problem with that is it's an unknown. If council doesn't take some sort of action now, by the time mid-year comes, it's impossible. I mean, the residents are going to storm the building.
How much would it cost to have Stephanie come in?
A couple hours, a few hundred dollars. I don't recall what her hourly rate is off the top of my head. I'd be more than happy to have her come in, just knowing that this is just foregoing this. Again, if the council recalls correctly, what you asked of me at our workshop meeting was give me a number, I'll give you $300,000. And I forgot which council member made a recommendation. They said, well, just because 52 will give us, break us even, it doesn't necessarily say we have to do 52. You could do an increase of higher than 52.
No, the councilman Boyle had asked, instead of just saying, let's go up $5, he said, there's got to be something more specific than just say $5.
And that's what this was.
I have one last thing. Can we verify that the, according to our ordinance, we're based on 170 gallons per day per household? Mm-hmm. Does that still hold true, those figures?
Yes.
It is.
Okay, anything else from council?
Yes, because this is really only the second time I'm seeing these numbers, the budget workshop and then what we got this past week. So I agree we shouldn't be talking about it for the next 6 months, but it's hard to make a decision with all these different numbers, and this is kind of the only second time we're really discussing it. In the budget workshop, in the information you gave us, the prior year anticipated there was a reserve for contributions and aid, $50,000, and the sewer capital surplus of $270,000.
Mm-hmm.
That supposedly we never got, because that's not, what happened to that money?
I don't have the document we're looking at, so I'm not sure.
Because that's where we're getting the $300,000 number that was short. So I'm wondering why we didn't get that in 2009.
Why? Because I can tell you, because in 2008, funds were taken from sewer to offset current, and it was never replenished.
Well, the motion that we have is to prepare the resolution. So if there's more information the council wants, we can receive it, and we could amend the resolution at our next meeting, should the information warrant it. So how about if we go from there, let the audience talk a little bit, and if there's more information we can gather it in the next 2 weeks.
Does anyone on council feel that it would be beneficial for Stephanie to come in?
Stephanie Lewis did all the financials projections when we built the plan.
She worked for Viola?
No.
She worked for us.
We hire her to come up with rates and
But we don't have all her information here?
This information is what came from the sewer billing department.
Okay.
I asked them what increase would be needed to get to the $300,000 that council requested.
So
that's what that spreadsheet is about.
In reality, we could vote on preparing the ordinance,
right,
which wouldn't cost us anything because the manager was prepared.
A resolution.
And then we can change it if we need to.
We could ask Stephanie to come in.
Do we need her to come in, or do we just need her to look over our numbers?
I don't think we need her to come in.
I can have her look over numbers. It's going to take her time to look over the numbers, but that's fine.
Okay.
Let's go from there.
There is going to be an additional cost with that.
Yeah.
I think everyone would benefit, everybody on council would benefit from that.
Yeah. It costs us $500 to save $1,000. It's worth it.
Yeah,
it
costs more than that.
Well, it's an analogy. Okay, now I know there's some members of the audience that wanted to comment on this. If you would just come up to the podium, whoever wants to come on up, name and address.
92 Carlton Avenue.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, sir.
Joe Kressa.
Thank you.
92 Carlton Avenue.
My concern here is, just say we raise it up to, just say for numbers, we raise it up to 52 and we get a $300,000 equity, we built up surplus. What's to stop you from taking that surplus like you did last time?
Legally nothing, but I don't agree with using what's
not what you agree or anything. I mean, we're taking from Paul to pay Peter. This is ridiculous.
We are trying to improve our practices to prevent that.
Well, it's scary to the taxpayer.
Right.
You're sitting up here and you're going to raise this tax and then somebody else goes, well, we got money here. We can take out of here. you know, it's just, it's like never ending, never ending. We're getting absolutely nothing back. You're taking, taking, taking. Just, I'm very, very disappointed the way this stuff's going. Really.
In council's defense to the public, these folks here can only make decisions based on the information that's given to them from their borough manager and from their financial advisors. So what happens, we have this huge sewer plant, which was forced upon us and forced upon the taxpayers. We knew it when we had to build it, that it was going to be a huge burden. We hoped that it would pay for itself. Previous governing bodies and this governing body can only make decisions based on what they think is the correct information. This is the fourth manager since that sewer plant has been built. Every single borough manager came to the governing body with a plan on how that sewer plant should function in terms of how we're charging the residents and whether or not we're making a profit or not making a profit in order to have surplus. Every year that I and most of you who served with me and Christina sat on this governing body, every council tried to keep the taxes from increasing. We're always starting off in January, 28 cents increase, now we're down to 12, then we're down to 6, to whatever we want to be at. Governing bodies in the past have pressured borough managers to find ways, find revenue from wherever they can find revenue from, and I'm not saying that any of the, and I'm not going to throw any manager under the bus specifically, but managers do look for money in places they know they can get revenue from because they want to make the council happy. Because the governing bodies that I ever sat on and that you're sitting on now are being pressured by the citizens. We don't want our rates because nobody can afford their sewer to go up. Nobody can afford to pay high taxes. So I'm not saying that whatever manager or professional you may be referring to that may or may not have done something right. Probably it's because they were being pressured by members of the governing body to find revenue somewhere. And I think it's a shame that the state does not help us in any way, because this is the biggest debt service that this governing body has. And to answer somebody else's question of what we do with the money, we did a lot of streets and a lot of other things with all that money. So most of our debt comes from capital improvements that we couldn't get state aid for because, you know, we're just washing.
Okay. I think we talked enough about the past, so I want to talk about the future to plug up that hole, because the hole is there. And I've been before this governing body before. I have requested several times that the bills be separated into municipal and sewer bills. Since I got off council, I had more time to look at the finances. Within the last 2 weeks, I looked at the sewer budgets going back to the year 2003. And you are correct, it never was treated as a self-liquidating utility until the year 2009. On the other hand, and you're also correct that there is a statute that you as the manager are allowed to take the money, if there is surplus in the utility, to use it for municipal needs, but not without the approval of the governing body.
Absolutely.
Well, this governing body, the one that I sat on, we have never approved any transfer from a sewer utility into a municipal budget. So that obviously was done without our knowledge. I'm going back to implore this governing body to please make a motion to separate the bills into a municipal bill and into a sewer utility bill. Because a sewer utility is something totally different. Read the accounting books, I read Rutgers books and so on, and I know this for a fact. They are supposed to be separated.
Is that something that's easy to do once you take the admin?
The bill list does separate that.
If you look at the very end, the last page.
Do me a favor, take them and even staple them separately. I'm talking about printing them, not just the totals at the end. Printing them separately. And staple them separately so council knows what they're looking at, because this is what got us into trouble. I also agree with Victor. We need to start providing as a community. I'm not forgetting that I'm not on council anymore. As a community, we need to provide for equipment that needs to be replaced. In every audit report, every year, the municipality is being criticized that we don't have a fixed asset account. We don't have one for the municipality. I think we also need one for the utility. Then you can plan and you can see into the future when a certain piece of equipment needs to be replaced. You can come up ahead of time, probably tell at least 2 years ahead of time that this bill needs to be increased.
We have a dovetail off that, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company coming in who's going to take an inventory of every municipal and sewer asset, the cost thereof, the lifespan thereof, so we can do just that.
Okay.
We are starting in the sort of.
As far as the utility goes, that budget is very small. The bill list is very small. If you have that done, I don't see why in the near future we could not have a fixed asset account. But as far as the bill list with the admin system, I don't see why that cannot happen immediately. And those things, that hole needs to be plugged up right now because, as the mayor said earlier, next year this gentleman here will yell even louder and heaven forbid 5 years from now, we won't fit into this room, the ones that are going to yell at you. So when, I need a deadline, when is the bill list going to be separated?
Can we separate
okay.
The sewer bill list?
Well, we have a different motion on the floor right now.
Oh, sorry.
So if we can hold that, and then you can make that.
Okay.
Yep.
Tim Chris office, 166 West Washington. You guys are insane. And I say that with all due respect. I don't know how, and yes, you all live in town, and yeah, you're all feeling the same pain. But you know what? Maybe some of you guys make a lot more money than some of us. You're talking about raising our taxes 30 cents on the 100. Then you want to raise, what is it, another $9 for a sewer bill. I heard something about garbage. And I don't know where the heck I'm going to get all this money to pay. I don't know where the other people in town are going to get all this money to pay. Yeah, the economy sucks right now. The state's in the toilet. But how did we get here? Who's accountable for this? And are we going back to them to tell them to give us our money back? Because somebody is accountable for this. Not sure if it's any of you guys, and I'm not saying it is. And I'm not saying that this all happened. You're talking about $300,000. It didn't happen in 2009. And it didn't happen in 2008. In 2000, it happened way before that. But yet you raised our bill, or our sewer, in 2006, you said it was. Why didn't you catch it then? All right, you weren't there. Why didn't someone catch it then? And if the person who didn't catch it then is not here now, what's our recourse with that person? This is a crime.
So far we have found nothing illegal that we could go back to anybody for.
Well, then how do we leave incompetent people in these type of positions? Because a person like me comes to you guys because you guys are running the town, and I have a councilman over here, Johnny on the spot, ready to raise that sewer bill. I mean, over here, I'm hearing we don't have enough information. I agree, we don't have enough information, but we got somebody who wants to raise what I have to say, and everybody else here. This is just ludicrous, people. When are we going to stop doing what we're doing? Before we go raising anything, what have we cut? What expenses have you cut? How much is our so-called municipal garage that we're building out there? I don't have all the facts, I don't have all the numbers, but I know it's up there. Why the hell didn't we stop that from going up last year? Why? Take the money and redirect it. I don't need a municipal garage. I don't think anybody here does, especially for that price tag. We could pick it up again when the economy changes and we have our finances in order. And as we're just going into my pocket to pay for these things, what do I do at home when I don't have enough money to pay my bills? Where do I go? I can't go to my neighbor and say, give me some money. I mean, what do I do? I have to cut something or go get another job. I mean, all I can say, guys, ladies, you're all insane if you think this is the way it's supposed to be. Think about the people out here.
We do.
I don't see it, Scott. Not by what I've read, what I've seen here tonight, I'm not seeing it. And I don't know.
You guys are all.
This year, you are welcome to file your position.
Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
When I said that there is an election this year, you are welcome to file your petition to run, as is anybody out here, should you think you can do things better, and it might give you a better understanding of what we have to go through.
You know what? It's not that I think. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I could do the job better. I'm not a politician. I just know right from wrong.
Right.
I don't know if everybody here recognizes right from wrong sometimes. You get caught up, okay? And if I did run, and if I did win, I'm not sure whether or not it would do any good, because I'm just one person against the rest of you. I'll say yes, you'll say no. I'll have a heart attack right there. And I'm sorry if I'm getting all wound up, because I am. But, again,
you guys are in sync?
Yes, sir. You had comments? You come to the podium, please.
Yeah, real quick. It just sounds like it's the first time you guys ever heard this. The public out there has been listening to it forever. I'm wondering about when you're going to do something. Oh, we're going to build a park. Great! Build a park with your 100,000. Listen to this guy for a change. I mean, try to put it together. Make a picture out of it somehow. You guys, just like it's the first time you ever heard about this, well, shortfall or whatever you call it. It don't make sense. And we go home, we sit there and say, what the hell do they do up there? They're in that ivory tower, and they never get out of it and look around. There's always a breath of fresh air from the new manager. I really believe it. I hope he can punch ahead and do us some good. I mean, he sounds like he's trying. But you guys, and we get new ones every time we blink our eye. Well, who's that? I don't know who it is. No qualifications. Oh, that's all right. They don't need qualifications. Just get up there and vote and stuff, just from the heart, maybe. That's good. But they need qualifications. I don't know what these guys are qualified for. They just sit there, the guy in the middle, all due respect to him. I never heard a word he said tonight. Not one word. And does that make sense? Well, listen, this is an audience participation. And we've got to hear what's being said. He's here now. I think it's just like you for mumbling. But he sit there and he goes, and for some reason you hear, I ought to go to your ear doctor, but Jesus, there's something wrong somewhere. You're not getting the right picture. Get build your park. Well, I'm going to smash. You know, that's probably recorded.
Yeah, don't say that.
I got a lot of people going with me. I just don't go with them. Strike it from the record. Jesus Christmas, listen. We go home and cry. We're human beings. We cry about the things you say about it.
Well, what would you like us to cut?
Pardon?
Well, yeah. Can you be just a little bit more specific?
The manager's salary.
And how much would that save you?
Are you guys qualified to sit there? Is he qualified? Are those three guys? I know Terry. Go to church with him. But I don't know if he's qualified to sit on that position. From the heart, I believe he's, you know, he's a good guy. But I don't know if he's qualified to make these decisions. These are heavy decisions.
True.
And you just sit up there and say, well, you know, your hands go and you vote yes or no, or cut it off to the next one. Is this what happens? This is my first meeting. I got to be 70, don't ask me how. But this is my first meeting. I won't be a second.
Well, I have a question. Yes, your point's well taken. How come when I raised the resolution to stop the park going through and was voted down, everybody in the audience sat here and didn't say boo?
Well, that's advice from their audience.
Did they?
Huh?
Nobody said anything.
I got criticized for criticizing him because he said, how did you word it? All right, word that. I'm not sure. Oh, about the park. Oh, that's a no-brainer. Remember that in the papers?
Yes.
I lived with that ever since it was said.
Yeah.
And I had a look at you, and I lost all respect. And
as I said, that was somebody else's comment, but it was attributed to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, a no-brainer. And I'm thinking, that's the way they work up there. It's a no-brainer. They're just going to take that $100,000. And they got a big debt, and they just throw it on the park. And the kids go up and ruin it.
Okay, is there any other audience comments on the sewer piece?
Come on up, Dennis. You're new one.
I'm new. Dan, 36 Grand Ave. I think Councilman Housel made a really good point, I think, at the on Sunday on the school system. I think if we're going to save some money, we need to really look at their budget. You know, we need to critique it, criticize it, and see where we can pull money out of there. Because we know, and what, 60% of our taxes, I think, come from school.
I don't believe
that 60% of that money goes to the kids. I think it gets lost. And I think if we can track down that money and really hold them accountable for where our money goes, I think we can solve our budget problems in a couple of years, my opinion.
Right. And just so you understand, that is not within the jurisdiction of the council.
I know, but
to do anything with them unless their budget gets down.
But we want to start somewhere, and I think by getting a bunch of municipalities together, I think would be a good start.
I agree. Okay, anybody else would like to speak on the sewer fees?
So this is just to have the resolution prepared. It's not passing the resolution.
Correct.
And we can have all the numbers.
As many as we can get.
Is the resolution specifically saying $52?
The resolution that's currently would say $52. Come the night that we vote on it, should we have information that shows differently, we can certainly change that number before we vote on it.
Now, let me ask before we vote on this. We have a motion already. But if we ask Stephanie to do it, we would have to go through a scope of services for her to do this. So would this be contingent on getting figures from Stephanie without necessarily having her come in, but having her review?
I thought that's what she was going to do, review it, right?
I have it written down for her to review it, but by the time you get the scope of services she reviewed the date, it won't be ready for February 2nd.
Just a thought with respect to Stephanie. I had originally raised that issue, but if what the manager is saying is that it is not a function of how much was calculated that would go into the rates, it is a function of the fact that money that was earmarked for the self-liquidating utility was taken out of the self-liquidating utility and used, quite frankly, to lower tax. That's the bottom line. So Stephanie's probably not going to really be able to help much in that regard, because she's going to say, well, if you took the money out, I projected for it, but if you took the money out, they might, you know, whether you actually save money by, or whether it's worth spending the money for Stephanie might not be actually valid.
Well, let me ask you a question. If that's the case, if the money was taken out, doesn't it have to be done by transfer resolution and voted on by the council? And is that a violation of the law if it was taken out and it wasn't done that way?
I assume it was part of the budget.
My question is this. If the money was transferred, and does it need to be transferred by resolution out of that account into the general fund, and if it was transferred out of there without the council doing a resolution, is that illegal?
Well, I think if it was done in the budget and it was provided for in the budget, then the council voted on the budget.
I understand what you're saying.
But I'm not sure about whether, Rich, you're going to have to answer. Are you going to need a resolution?
Well, anytime you transfer money from one account to another, you need a transfer resolution. What I don't know is where was it transferred from to.
Exactly. I mean, if there was money taken out, if Stephanie can say that there was money taken out of that account to offset taxes, and there wasn't a resolution passed by the council at the time that money was taken out, there's a problem.
I'd have to check with
them. Or if it was in the budget.
Criminal, in the sense that, don't forget, in both cases, it was used for public purpose.
I understand that. Are you saying that that's a procedure problem?
Well, certainly. If a resolution was required and there was no resolution, that's certainly a procedure problem. There's no doubt about that.
All right, but there's a statute that says to do money transfer, you have to have it has to be done by resolution from one account to another, correct?
If it was so a money transfer,
but it's not a.
If it was a what?
If it was a money transfer.
But if there was money taken from the sewer account to offset the general account without a resolution.
What Dick is saying is it could have been in last year's budget.
I understand what you're saying.
We didn't catch it in last year's budget.
I understand what you're saying.
So, yes, you're right as far as being a transfer resolution. However, if it was done in the budget and it wasn't caught,
Stephanie would be able to say that.
Well, the CFO in order would be able to say that.
Oh, they would.
It wouldn't cost me anything.
All right.
Because they're doing that now with the annual financial statement.
Can we find that out for you?
Well, I won't know until they finish the annual financial statement. That's what they're working on now.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. I'm sorry?
I have a question. Is it part of this resolution where we are going to be billed quarterly?
No, that was
that is not.
Is that included in with this?
Yeah, that is not in this resolution. That was done earlier when we talked about bringing the sewer billing in-house.
Okay, and then my other point is, why do we have to keep hiring professionals? That's what's getting us in all this trouble, is hiring professionals. Look how much we pay the professional for the Taj Mahal down there. We pay more professional fees than what the building costs. Why do you have to hire these instead? Can't you guys figure it out yourself? We don't have to keep hiring professional, putting it off, delaying it, hire another professional, it's ridiculous.
At this point, we're not going to hire a professional. We're having our CFO do it.
All right, but just before that, though, while I'm standing, I can't hear you back here.
Right, I asked counsel if they were willing to have Stephanie come in, because Stephanie has been involved with this from the very inception.
It costs us money.
I know that.
Well, it's not
but we want to have the right answer.
Right now, so let's and that we have a motion on the floor. If the clerk would reread the motion for us, please, so we know exactly what we're doing here. Sure.
Okay. Councilman Leone made a motion to raise the EDU charge from $45 to $52 by resolution at the next meeting date. We're at the next meeting, sorry, effective on the next billing cycle, which would be mid-month, seconded by Household, Councilman Household.
Okay.
So basically the motion is to prepare the resolution.
Correct.
Well, actually, the way that sounds is that we're doing it, to have it prepared for the next billing cycle.
Right.
Not
to prepare, no,
not
prepare the resolution.
Right?
So prepare the resolution, staying within the resolution, it would be effective the next billing cycle.
But it's got to be for the next meeting. It's going to be
yes.
For the next meeting.
Right.
To have a resolution prepared for this.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any discussion? Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Now, off to the next one. We have garbage collection up next.
Oh, and then don't forget the motion that
oh, yes.
Started.
Before we go there.
Separate the sewer bills.
Yes. Would you like to make that motion?
Yes,
now?
I would like to make a motion. Separate the sewer bill line item.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that?
Second
all in favor?
When would that be done?
The next voucher report.
I'm sorry?
For the next time we get the voucher bill.
Can we do that for the next voucher?
Sure.
Okay. So for the next voucher bill we have. Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor on that?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, now we're going into the garbage collection. Currently we have it included in the taxes. The proposal is to take it out of the taxes.
Okay, again, I'm out. Again, I reiterate my objection to this. This was already voted on and passed. Now, there's a loophole, I'm told, as to how this can be brought back up again and discussed. I'd be interested in hearing the loophole.
It's not a loophole. Please don't think that.
That's what I was told. It's a loophole.
If you recall, Council, or I think it was November, passed the resolution awarding a contract.
Correct.
For garbage collection, recycling services. Subsequent to that, a motion was made by a council member to invoke one of the clauses in the contract.
Correct.
Now, it's my understanding that that's what's been brought up again is going to be another motion to invoke that term again.
Well, wait a second. It's on the paper. It should have already been done. Who did it?
This is the discussion.
But who invoked it?
No one invoked it.
So why is it on the paper?
Because you hired me to give you all the good and bad cuts.
Listen, parliamentary procedure. There is a clause in the contract that says after within 180 days we can opt out on it. We voted to give that contract. So now, that can be brought back up by anybody because of that clause?
Well, I think the answer is
that if you follow the procedure you often follow, somebody who voted in the majority would make the motion, there'd be a second, and it'd come back on the table. So, I mean...
That wasn't done.
Okay, if you do it now, come on.
Wasn't the bulk section of this brought up?
Yeah. The bulk section was, yeah.
And that was removed, right?
Yeah, it was.
So basically, I believe what's being discussed tonight is to remove the garbage collection. Totally. So it would basically be the same thing as the bulk.
No, that was, we were told that that was for a specific reason. A specific part of the contract, not the contract in its entirety.
Okay, so what it boils down to is to discuss it again, we should have a motion to discuss it from the prevailing side. Is that correct?
That's the guidance I'm seeking.
Okay. Would someone like to make a motion to have that on as a discussion then?
No.
Us, please. Yes, but the meeting is run by me, and it's for the council discussion right now, not for the audience. The audience will get their chance. It is not now. Hearing no motion, I guess it fails. Okay, that takes care of our 2010 budget issues. Now we're on to our new business.
It stays in your tax.
Will you continue the other items that we talked about at the budget workshop? Like the, we asked about the resolution to be, we were expecting Rich to get information regarding that school resolution that Saturday. Rich was going to see if he can find a other resolution similar to it.
Yeah.
So that, those other ideas being worked on?
I believe that's on his list of things to do.
Yeah, I was thinking of some things today in the course of driving back and forth to work. One of the things I wanted to, the main thing I brought up on Sunday was to urge the consolidation of all schools within the regional sending district, that urge all personnel contracts to hold steady for 2011 and opening contracts renegotiations, specifically a percentage of pay for health benefits and other benefits. And immediately open all administrators' contracts and renegotiate those contracts. That was some of the ideas that I came up with today and on Sunday. Also, I'll probably think of a few more tomorrow, and I will email those to Rich. And if anybody else has any ideas, please. Please send them.
Well,
anybody from the public that has any ideas?
To have that resolution made. Remember, we were going to have the other school, get the other school districts on it, copy it to the state legislators. Do we need a motion to make that resolution, or it's going to be done for the next meeting?
It's
not going to be ready for the next meeting. We're still working on getting the legal issues for the problem. The reach out to the legal municipalities as well as other municipalities to see. One, who has done it right, because I know there's towns that have done it, and two, what the response is.
Okay, well, it wasn't on this new budget consideration list, so I'm just ensuring that.
Yeah, that doesn't really affect our budget directly.
Okay.
That's the school budget.
It'll affect our taxes directly.
It will affect our taxes, but it's not our budget directly, which is why it wasn't discussed on our budget.
And particularly, Rich, I really don't care what the reaction is. I mean, I want to put out there, we are coming down to bare bones. We are trying to find places under every rock to find money. And the school districts are, we don't see much of a reaction from them. And as taxpayers, I believe it would benefit every taxpayer in every community to start consolidating these schools. And that is a no-brainer.
Because everything does come through the municipality.
You can put that on the record.
Okay, first up on our...
Could you look into one of my proposals regarding the shared service between the municipal building and the local school district, like the maintenance, I put that in my list that I sent to everyone. Could you look into something like that? Because that would directly be a cost savings if we could do something like that.
Okay. Now we have a special ABC permit for the Washington Fire Department Ladies Auxiliary. Everything is in order?
Yes, please.
Okay. Someone like to make a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next we have a discussion of the recreation fees for 2010. Before we go there, Mr. Feldman, I apologize. You had a question.
Keep going. I'll wait.
And I forgot all about you. I'm sorry.
Keep going. I'll wait.
Okay. The recreation fees for 2010. All fees have been recommended to remain the same. Mr. Masoner, do you have any comments that you would like to make for this discussion?
I'm here to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Feldman.
Now, who made that recommendation to keep the fees the same?
That is the document that we were given here, so I assume it came...
So, because I'm saying it's not the committee's recommendation.
I made the recommendation to keep the fees the same. It was the recommendation of the committee to reduce the fees.
Okay.
And based on the information that I've seen, I make the recommendation to keep the fees the same.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, do we have any other discussion on this?
Do we know how much we made on all of this stuff, or how much we lost?
Yeah.
With these fees?
The only item that lost money last year was pool membership. It was about 12,000. 70 members short. 70.
What's the percentage on that? The percentage? Is that 25%?
Gary, you remember the number, total number of memberships? Last year? I don't recall off the top of my head.
In 2008, we had 209 memberships, and in 2009, we had 133.
One of the discussions at the last Recreation Committee meeting was the fees for the pool membership. It was felt by some that the $175 was too high for the family membership, and that's why the membership was down, and I think a fee of $150 was discussed. Is that correct, Mr. Fellow? $150 was discussed?
The recommendation from the committee was that all fees be reduced by $5 except the pool membership, which should have been requested to be reduced by $25 and throw the senior citizens down to zero. They should not be paying anything. That was the committee's recommendation. Committee's recommendation also was based on the fact that the council took $81,000 out of recreation last year. And if we had so much surplus, then why wasn't that used for recreation and not taken from it?
Okay. Thank you. So that's what was discussed by the committee.
Do you think if we reduce the pool membership, the fee, that we'd increase the membership?
That was part of the discussion. Whether it would happen or not is up in the air.
Scott?
Yeah.
Do we know what the loss was in 2008, Gary?
Thank you, Mr. Stanley. I didn't think this was going to be a good night to do this tonight after the prior discussion. Okay.
To give you a breakdown, in 2006, there were 206 members, and the revenue was $25,800. In 2007, there were 190 members, and the revenue was $24,897.
That's just from the pool membership fees?
Pool membership fees. In 2008, participants were 209. The revenue was $27,902. I'm sorry, 2008, 209, 27,902. In 2009, 133 memberships, $22,062. Okay.
if you look at all the fees that we have this year, if you look at field hockey, karate, elite basketball, men's basketball, soccer, softball, street hockey, and youth basketball, we had revenues of $35,785 and expenses of $26,907. Last year we did not raise any of those fees. This year we made $9,000 on those programs. Last year, the only fees that we raised were the pool memberships. They went from $175 for an Inverell family, from $135, from single membership from $70 to $100, and for a senior from $10 to $25. For out-of-town seniors were $10. In 2008, we raised it to $50. In 2009, individuals were $95, we raised it to $150. Individual family was $225 in 2008. We raised it to $265. As a result of raising the revenues, we showed a decrease in membership. Okay? We went from $27,902 to $22,062.
So raising... Gary, you can't make that inference, though.
Well...
You can't.
I'm not making the inference based on that. First of all, I think a lot of it has to do with a number of factors. Okay? First of all, we had bad weather for the entire month of June. Okay? We had a decline in the economy. Okay. There was also a question, and a lot of people came to me with a question saying that they weren't going to get borough memberships this year because they had a question as to whether or not the borough was going to be able to maintain the pool throughout the year. They didn't want to pay money and then have the pool closed because of our economic problems. Okay. But out of all the problems, out of all the programs, this was the only program that had a decrease in revenue. It was the only one that we raised revenue.
No more questions?
Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
What would we like to do with the fees, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, again, I go back to the fact that the park director stated that the fees would remain the same. I mean, what's the point? No, what's the point of having a director if we're not going to take his recommendation at face value? I mean, he's obviously closest to it. Okay, I mean, are we going to micro? I mean,
to being fair about this, okay, this is based on the assumption, okay, the only program to lose money is a program that loses money every year, okay, and council has contributed money from the current budget every year for that. Are we going to continue to do this?
I understand exactly what you're saying, but right. I mean, you said to yourself here, you know, part of it was because the rates were raised.
Can't tag it directly to that, but
I'm not saying
it's one of the results. Was it, it's the only program that did decrease in revenue.
For 2007. But I think if we took that 175 and it was 135, the 40, yeah, take it up. Pardon?
Yeah. Now, just remember, anything that you have that you take out of this, and there still has the requirement for it to be subsidized
understood.
By current funds.
Yeah, understood.
In order to maintain the program at its current rate.
I understand that.
If we don't maintain it at its current rate, then we have to reduce services.
So then it has to be this to provide the services.
Break even.
Correct.
Well, again, what we're doing here is we're attempting to micromanage the park director and a department head, which is beyond the, I believe it's beyond the purview of council. I mean,
I don't know, I agree with that because we do that with most budgets, most departmental budgets we look at and examine.
Yeah,
but you do.
I'm presenting, no. What I'm trying to do is to present the facts and then you're going to have to make the decision as to what we're going to do as far as.
I just want to be careful we're not going down a slippery slope where we're taking your recommendations and basically telling them, well, you know, we don't agree with that. And, you know, basically the whole reason of hiring a park director is to weigh on that expertise and say, okay, you're closest to the situation. You've assessed the pool. You've assessed the budget. You've assessed your needs. This is what you're coming to us and say, this is ultimately what the rates have to be in order for us to make a profit or at least break even. And to your other point, you said that the pool has lost money every year. And
correct.
In previous years, in some cases, regardless of the lower rate, lost a lot of money because it was so poorly managed. So the problem is, it's not necessarily about how much the pool rates are. You know, to me, it's, are we going to, again, I feel like we're micromanaging the park director's recommendations here. I mean, council agreed last year to, by resolution or whatever, approve the fees, and that was fine.
Well, we can accept a motion to approve the fees as presented, or we can discuss it a little bit more and make some changes to it. It is council's pleasure.
Well, sitting as a liaison for the Rec Committee past year, 09, it's an interaction between committee members and the director. So there's a lot of information going back and forth with information they had to work from. And Gary ran a good meeting, and, you know, I would support the recommendations from the committee also because they have the same information Gary has.
But, again, the committee is set up strictly as an advisory to the director, period. Well,
I hear the point you're making, absolutely. I hear them. Gary, the senior citizen fees, would that be detrimental if they were eliminated?
I have mixed feelings about a lot of different things that are involved here. Okay, first of all, there's a big disparity between out-of-town rates and in-town rates. Okay, we have a limited population within the town. If we were to bring both of the rates more within the same line, okay, could we attract more people from the outside? Okay, currently we're only, on a daily basis, we're probably operating the pool at approximately 25% of its capacity. So we need to do something in order to increase the total membership, which will decrease the burden. Okay.
So are you making a
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Are you making a recommendation on the non-resident fee then, Gary? Or does your report stand as it is?
I'm going to leave my report at this time as it is, yes.
So I'll make a motion to approve the park director's report as stated.
And accept the fees.
And accept the fees, because that's what his...
Rich.
If I may, this motion should be nothing more than approving this and authorizing us to create the ordinance to approve this. All the recreation fees should have been approved in an ordinance structure. This would authorize the ordinance to be created with this as the starting fees in order to do it properly. We need to do an ordinance.
So I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, is there any other discussion?
I personally have no problem reducing the senior citizens' fees to zero.
Okay.
I think it's something that we can do for the community.
Mr. Kasafis, you had something to say?
I would just like to make a comment, if I could.
Sure.
I thought about this for a while, because we go to the pool every year. We buy the membership. We have every year for 15 years. But it's almost always empty. But I'm thinking that we just charge too much for people to afford to go to that pool. And now, I don't know, it was like $89 way back when, now it's $175. It does cost money. A lot of times that's all we can do for our summer entertainment. Okay, great. But I'm thinking that if you have, and I think Gary said some of it, the disparity between the out-of-towners and the in-towners, if you bring it closer together and even reduce it a little bit and maybe even put some advertising in a paper or something or a sign out, if we got more people to come to the pool, you'd make a lot more money and there'd always be someone in it. I don't know. Just a thought. Thank you.
I'm essentially basing my recommendations on maintaining the total recreation program budget flat.
Okay.
So I have a question. Again, going back to the pool fees, if you reduce the pool fees, again, would that affect the budget? But do you think if you reduce the pool fees, more people would sign up for usage?
Okay, we're back to that question again. You know, what actually caused the decrease in our membership? Was it the economy? Was it the increase in the fees?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a tough call.
It's a crystal ball question, really.
Yeah. Right. I mean, if we lower the fees, are we going to get three times the amount of people? I can't guarantee that.
If you lower the fees, would you break even, though? Like, almost like through a test.
Right.
The fees would be, the fees were lowered.
We're not going to break even by maintaining the fees where they are right now. The pool is going to have to be subsidized by current funds, as it has been in the past.
Okay.
Even
these dollars,
when
the pool
will
not break even.
No.
Ah.
I've said it three times.
So. How about a daily rate?
We
have a daily rate.
A daily rate,
yeah.
There is
a daily rate.
We have
2 hours, 5 hours,
whatever.
Sure. Just so everybody knows who haven't been here before, when John Corica was the manager, he was also the acting park director. So basically, before he left, he sent us a proposal that basically outlined, based on current numbers of people that had yearly passes, in other words, if everything stayed the same, they would have to raise rates to X in order to break even, not even make a profit, just break even, right? So council pretty much unanimously thought those rates were just not practical. They were way too high. So what we ultimately decided was sort of what your guys are talking about here. You know, not quite what John Corica, and again, John Corica was looking at it strictly from a math problem. You know, if everything stayed the same, in order to break even, you have to go here. So basically what we ultimately came out with last year and what Gary's recommending this year is that middle ground road in order to get, not necessarily break even, but closer to break even. So that's where we are last year, and that's where we are this year.
Okay. Mr. Phelan, you have a comment you'd like to make?
Yes, just a point of clarification. What I'd like to do with council's approval is, as I said, this should have always been approved via ordinance. What I'd like to do is draft an ordinance for introduction at the next meeting, adoption thereafter, but create a min and max, if you will, for the respective fees. Then each year thereafter, you can just adjust the fees via resolution as long as it's in that range in lieu of reintroducing and readopting the ordinance each year. Council will still set the fees, but by setting a min and max within this new ordinance, you'll be permitted to say the, you know, daily fees are between $5 and $20 as an example. You can set it as five every year, but you just do so via resolution instead of reintroducing, readopting, republishing an ordinance each year. You'll still have final approval on it, but it's a procedural thing that we should start doing properly.
What would you want to do for that min and max? Minus 25,
well,
plus 25%?
Well, I can work with the rec director based on the current numbers.
Okay.
You know, I theoretically, you could do everything, you know, between 0 and 300, but that's not practical because you can't budget that way. What I can do is work with Gary, and he can reach out to the rec committee to find out what a reasonable min and max is. That'll give the governing body fluctuation without having to spend time and money for introduction and adoption of the ordinance in each year.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I guess, can I amend my motion to have the manager work on that ordinance with the park director to come up with those fee schedules?
Was there a second?
I'll second it.
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. You agree with that?
Okay. Do you have a comment you wanted to make on that, Mr. Boyle?
Sorry, Mayor, for interrupting.
Okay. Any other comments on that? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Maybe.
Any abstentions?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
That takes us to Resolution 31-2010, releasing some escrow funds.
Move Resolution
31-2010. Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this? Somebody roll call on this, please.
Alvin?
Yes.
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 Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Have a resolution to stop payment and replace a check. Resolution 33-2010.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Hazel?
Yes.
Reba?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Donald?
Yes. Resolution 34-2010. So this is 2009 on our agenda. This is the next one. Oh, it's correct. 34 is correct on the resolution.
I'll move the corrected resolution 34-2010.
Second.
Is there any discussion on this? A roll call, please.
Calvin?
Yes.
Reba?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Daniel?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Brings us to 35-2010. A resolution accepting the Washington Avenue downtown streetscape project.
So moved. I'll second it.
Now that one should say 2010.
Yes.
Is this it, Rich, for this?
That's correct. So tomorrow I get final certifications from the CFO on monies expended. We can send it to DOT for grant reimbursement.
All right. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Yeah.
Leone?
Yes.
Calvo?
Yes.
Weber?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Next we have our vouchers.
You'll be paying bills.
Yeah,
I'll second.
Okay, is there any discussion on the vouchers?
Page 21, we paid for a lock with recreation legal advertising again.
Just out of curiosity, Rich, because of the timing, so many municipal library.
Those are all POs from the end of November, December.
I did see some old ones.
And now they got signed and sent back.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Alvo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Okay, we have council committees discussion. Do we want to do that tonight, or do we want to
table that until the next meeting?
The next meeting. That's a motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, recap.
Right. Beginning. Request made for the breakdown of municipal debt, which is being done for the annual financial statement. Asked the CFO from Mansfield to attend our next meeting with breakdowns for the proposed shared court, as well as the possible savings that occupants realize when they see the shared court. Move forward with negotiations with the Township of Washington for the shared service agreement for tax collection. Reach out to the Township of Washington regarding the overall municipal merger of the two municipalities. Move forward with the sale of borough-owned property in accordance with the list provided to council. Publish the block and lot information on those properties once the list is finalized.
And copy of the tax map, I think that is applicable.
Oh, I'm going to put the page number
okay,
up.
Okay, yeah, that's
map.
Fine.
We don't have the tax map digitally.
Rich, on that one there, could you actually put the street name that's closest? Is that feasible?
I could put the nearest cross street.
Nearest cross street?
Sure.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Move forward with the sale of the old fire trucks and prepare the ordinance for the disposition of unused vehicles that are no longer serviceable for donation to the fire captain. Find out what the cost would be for a referendum to be placed on the November ballot. As is, everything else will stay the same with the library. Stay as is with the purchase of the park.
that'll stay in the hopper. Move, continue to move forward with sewer billing in-house. Move forward with further negotiations with the fire department relating to the annual contribution. The merger of the planning board and the board of adjustment to a land use board will not move forward. Resolution to be placed on the next meeting, February 2nd, for a proposed EDU increase as it relates to SOAR, as well as reach out to Stephanie Lewis just to see if she has any additional information. Starting with the next bill list, separate bill list for SOAR and current, collection of garbage, no action. And rec fees in ordinance form will be placed on for introduction at the next meeting with the minimum and maximum. That's all I have.
Okay.
Sorry.
We do have a need for an executive session tonight, correct?
Yeah. Brief.
So how about if we do council remarks and then we'll go to our executive session. Mr. Boyle?
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate that. Rich, real quickly, our soil erosion control, the Ordinance 69.
Mm-hmm.
And the ordinance says about environmental damage within the borough of Washington. Getting some concerns with people that live along the Shabacon that's just taking away their yards, there's been no action towards that. Real quickly, what's the process for us to get our engineer out there to look at it? And then secondly, is it because of the ordinance that we're not in the soil erosion state program?
For the second question, I don't know the answer.
Okay.
The first question, I can tell you that the Shabacon was recently reclassified.
Right.
So I believe it's now a class one tributary of a class one stream. So the restrictions on what you can and can't do for that, whether or not we have a soil erosion plan, are very restrictive. It almost is like a double-edged sword, because if we move forward, we need DEP approval. Once, like, say Andrew goes through and says, yes, it's an issue, we need to address it. We need DEP approval, and it's a very good shot that we can do a whole upstream study on it to determine not just the one property owner's erosion, everybody thereof.
So if we have Andrew look at it, does it have to go even further to the DEP?
I can have him look at it to give me his opinion on is it compliant with our ordinance, what actions can be taken.
Okay.
What his determination will be will dictate whether or not, I mean, he can give me an informal opinion.
All right, yeah.
Do you happen to know the address? Or where it is, or
I know it's. I'd like to recognize Mrs. Klimko. I know she was here.
35 West Market.
Well, it's half of my house
because
more than half of my property is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Let me check with him, and I can. Before we leave, can I get your phone number
when we're done? Yes. I called 2 DEP, and they said it had to do with soil conservation.
Okay.
And that's why I brought this question up. One of my questions was, why are we one of the only three towns in the state of New Jersey that do not use state soil conservation? We hire suburban consultants to do the job.
Well, suburban consultants are municipal engineer.
We don't have access to state soil conservation. We don't pay them. We have no access to them.
Right. I can't answer why the borough has never decided.
We have a major problem. The borough needs to pay for it, not the state.
Let me look into it and get an answer. I just don't want to misspeak.
And just to let you know where this is coming from, I've lived there 25 years. Never had a problem with the Shabacon Creek. I loved it. It was like a 3-day torrential downpour. Everyone in the town was there. The fire department was pumping out. You know, the whole town was half underwater. The last 6 years, rain like we had the other day, I can sit in my back door and watch that stream come up.
Did this happen about mid-year last year? Did this start?
No,
I mean some of the more recent. Because I know we did get some phone calls when DOT replaced that culvert
on Route 57?
No.
Okay.
Before that.
All right, and I'm just trying to gauge my timeline.
This is no, upstream
that,
from that.
This
okay.
Was before that, and I mean, it's literally, I'm on an island. And it washes out all the dirt from the bank of the dirt to where it looks like you still have lawn to step on it, and probably this much at a time, you lose that much lawn after every rainstorm that goes down in that. Along with debris, which I've called the ground and said, who's going to remove this? Not our responsibility. Trees, you know, three people around. Now it creates dam, which creates another problem for us. We go out there and cut it up ourselves. It's not our responsibility to do that. But because this is where the bus is so long, there's a section above my house that is, there's no home size, it's just a wooded area.
Okay.
That doesn't have yet the borrowed right away from the sewer line, the old sewer line. It doesn't have any banks anymore. So now it used to be maybe this light when we took the wall. Now it has no bank.
Well, Mr. Kunkel, if I may interrupt you, rather than getting the whole story here, if you just give the manager your phone number and he can take care of all of that, and you can tell him everything there, then I think that would probably be a lot more productive.
Part of the problem with Mr. Winkler's house in the past has been behind the Verizon building on 57.
Mm-hmm.
The water comes off of that. There is a catch basin just behind beyond the parking lot. That catch basin has been clogged up in the past.
A public catch basin or private?
It's a private catch basin, Terry, and it doesn't go anywhere. So when the water fills up...
So it's like a dry well.
Right.
Oh, it's
right.
It's on
Verizon's
property.
So it doesn't tie into the storm
no.
sewer. It's just
no.
a hole with a grate.
And right. it comes down over the hill into the back of...
Hey, I thought it was my remarks.
I was just going to be upset. That's all I have. Sorry about that. Okay. That's it, Mr. Boyle?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll save it for next time.
Okay, Mr. Higgins.
Real quick. Rich, you were talking about checking with the township about the $250,000 in the budget for police pensions. And are we on the hook for that?
I haven't heard back from the state yet.
Okay. And on April 10th, the firehouse is putting on a beefsteak dinner. Tickets are $40.
Oh, yeah.
For beefsteak and a comedian. See any firemen for a ticket?
Who's the jokester? You?
No, they hired a professional.
Yeah?
Comic, yeah.
Cool.
Is that it, Mr. Higgins?
That's it. You want to come up and laugh at me?
Mrs. Gleba.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the recorded council meetings, and I'm going to save the rest of the next meeting.
Okay. Mr. Hauser.
A lot of hard decisions are being made. They're not easy. We're trying to do what is best. It doesn't please everybody, and we're here because we know we're not going to please everybody, and it's painful for us too.
I agree. Everybody complains about how restrictive the rules are for businesses. I wish we had to operate under the same rules as businesses.
My suggestion is come to the budget workshop meetings when we have them, and watch and ask questions. And look at the borough website and look at the budget and see what has been done over the past couple of years and where we are now.
Okay. Mr. Cioli.
Just pretty much echoing the same sentiments as Councilman Howell. It's going to be a tough year, and we have a lot of hard decisions to make, and not everybody's going to be happy with those decisions. But we have to be concerned about the big picture, and that's just the reality of being in this position. That's it.
Mr. Valentine?
Nothing. Everybody pretty much is saying pretty much
concurrent. Yes, we are. We're fighting for our financial life here. There's no question about it. Okay, now I would accept a motion for Resolution 32-2010. Authorizing the executive session for pending or anticipated litigation, contract negotiations, and that type of stuff.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?